The fight for the future is now. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. It is the 1st of May for the year 2020. My name is Harrison Smith. I'm in studio with my co-host, Owen Schroyer. We're mixing things up a little bit here. Owen was at a protest earlier today at the Texas Capitol, and we weren't quite sure what the schedule is going to be, so he's going to be in here for at least a little while. We're going to be joined by Greg Reese later in this hour. Tons of big news to get to, from Joe Biden to, of course, all of the nonsense going on with the coronavirus and the attempt to reopen the country. How was the protest today, Owen, in downtown Austin?
It wasn't as well attended as the protests we've seen the last two Saturdays, where we had, I'd say, minimum 500 people at each one. And people traveling from all over the country. We did have a couple people traveling there to be there today, but not a big turnout. There are other rallies happening or other protests happening I've heard of today that we're going to try to monitor, including a rent strike, which is now going nationwide. These are some of the things that we've been warning you about, including meat shortages and other stuff that's in the news today. But, you know, we're not really dealing with the likes of a Governor Whitmer or Gavin Newsom. And so I think that the people in Texas aren't as energized to be out there all the time. We did kind of do phase one of a reopen here today in Austin, Texas as well, and just in the state of Texas. So I think because Governor Abbott hasn't really clamped down saying we're going to extend this stuff, instead he's kind of drawn back saying, okay, it's time to reopen. I think that protests or rallies in Texas will probably start to dwindle, and hopefully, I mean, I think we should open up everything now, but hopefully by next week or in 2 weeks, we're back to normal activity, bars, gyms, if there's sporting events, schools. I'd like to see normal activity return to Texas within 2 weeks.
Now, today was the day that a lot of these restrictions have been rolled back. And I know some of our crew, I think Savannah and Zach, went to check out the mall just to see if stores were reopening. And what they found was that all of the locally owned stores, all the mom and pop stores, were open. But all of the big corporations who have to get their orders from headquarters, they were saying you're not open yet. So even though they're allowed to be open, you know, the government says so, they are not choosing to open up yet because they're waiting on orders from their corporate overlords. So, you know, if you're a small business owner, now's the time to get out there and take up that that market share. And we'll be talking a lot about all this sort of stuff as the show goes on. But I just pulled up this headline as we started the show. America's billionaires added $282 billion to their total wealth in 23 days during the coronavirus crisis, a report claims. So while there are, I mean, just insane numbers of unemployment, insane numbers of small businesses absolutely going down, apparently the rich are still getting richer. Amazon and Walmart are making out like bandits while the rest of us are struggling to survive.
But don't forget about, you know, Bill Gates too. But, you know, personally, I mean, you've been dying to get a haircut.
Oh my God. The American people have been dying for me to get a haircut. My wife, however, is happier than she's ever been. So,
I mean, I didn't really notice until we looked at the HD monitor here. But, I mean, folks, we have to open up the barbershops.
It's a matter of national security.
Harrison is a very, I mean, you know, he doesn't like to rub people the wrong way or break any rules. So he hasn't had the black market haircut.
That's right. I wouldn't trust it with my
name. I am a little skeptical where you got the new tie, though, considering that the mall just reopened today.
This is actually a gift from our friend Tony Arterburn when he was hosting the David Knight Show a little while ago there at Wise Wolf Radio.
You know, you did mention, though, it is a key time, I think, for smaller businesses to... It is a weird situation they have at the mall where now if you go to a small business, you can actually shop instead of, you know, the big stores that are still closed, obviously. There may be some other outlying reason for that. But, you know, small businesses are the ones that have been suffering the most. A lot of them, I think, were wondering if they're even going to be able to make it back. And so this could be a pivotal time for small business this week and the next week. If they have a little bit of an edge with some of these other big box stores that aren't reopening at malls and such because they've been told, oh, no, we're going along with the panic.
Yeah, and you know, the thing I'm looking forward to is the roaring back. I mean, we've been hurt, we've been knocked down, the stock market's taken a hit. But once they take the shackles off, I can't wait to see the American people roar back to work and get this country going again. Now, hopefully, looking towards the future and going, let's get manufacturing back home, let's cut our ties with China, let's get it done. folks. We're back with the War Room. Harrison Smith here sitting with Owen Schroyer, who will be with us for as long as he deigns, as long as he chooses to grace us with his presence. But he's got always working behind the scenes and got a lot of other stuff to be doing for preparations for this weekend and further. Of course, today's top story is Biden. It's Joe Biden, the allegations made against him. We're going to show you some of the clips from the interview he did earlier today on Morning Joe with Mika Brzezinski, where he confronted some of these allegations for the first time. I'd also like to go through and sort of enumerate the differences between the two allegations, because they are stark and really tell a massive story, not just the response to the allegations, but the allegations themselves. And we'll get into all of that over here in the next few segments. But first, I want to go to this clip. This is from the interview. This is Joe Biden being asked whether women should be given the benefit of the doubt. And of course, he's just been accused of pretty egregious behavior and a pursuing cover up. So here he is. Here's Joe Biden being asked about his sexual allegation. Clip 11.
I think they should do an FBI investigation. We did that for Anita Hill. Took 2 days.
On FBI.
Number two, most importantly, Anita Hill
was
vilified when she came forward by a lot of my colleagues. Character assassination.
He just said he wanted an FBI investigation. Well, y'all can pull that. I'm sorry. That's the wrong clip. I'm sorry. This is an oversight. That wasn't him talking about his own allegation. That was him talking about the Kavanaugh allegation and saying that he wanted the FBI to investigate. I'm sorry. That's our mistake. Let's go to this next clip. This is him talking about what's really behind this abusive behavior of women. Let's play this, Joe Biden.
Do you think this time it's different, that we are seeing with the Me Too movement something that is truly going to lead for change, to change for women?
Look, at its root, this is all about the abuse of power. It's all about the abuse of power. Whether it's Harvey Weinstein or the guy who... the plumber who has a secretary, he harasses. It's all about the abuse of power.
Number one.
Number two, women should be believed.
They should be believed. You know what? I hate to say it. That was a mistake. That was also Joe Biden on Kavanaugh. So, I must have gotten those interview clips mixed up. But that was Joe Biden when he was asked about Kavanaugh. Now, and to me, the interesting thing is, and this highlights what I was just talking about, if you look at the two accusations, just to sum it up, Kavanaugh was accused of basically drunken rambunctiousness, going a little too far, maybe some misconduct as a teenager, little bit of fooling around and going too far. Joe Biden, on the other hand, is accused as a senator of basically being brought a woman for him to do with as he pleased. And when she fought back, her life was destroyed and there was a total cover up following it. So when Joe Biden is talking about Kavanaugh and says it's all about abuse of power, well, in one situation, you have some drunken teenagers, not a lot of power play dynamics going on there. On the other hand, Joe Biden's accusation actually is about his abuse of power that he's been given. What do you think about that?
Well, and I do believe it's now 8 women who put their name on the dotted line accusing Joe Biden of sexual assault and activity. And now this story just came out today from Law and Crime. Eva Murray says Joe Biden sexually harassed her when she was 14. And this kind of goes right along with what we've seen from Joe Biden. She's at an event. Biden shows up, sees a young girl. Naturally, he begins to flirt and hit on this young girl and compliments her breasts. Again, that's typical stuff for Joe Biden. He asked 12-year-olds to come back behind the stage with him at campaign events and sick stuff like that. Sniffs little girl's hair. Gropes little children on television. So this is right up Joe Biden's alley. But honestly, Harrison, I thought you were going to go a different direction, because when you look at the Kavanaugh accusations, really all you have is accusations. You don't have anything to fall back on. Nothing at all. And, I'm not leaping headlong into these Joe Biden accusers, but there is actual evidence that you can fall back on that would at least lend you to say, hey, there is something there. Now, is it assault or the allegation? I mean, you can have that debate, but there's something there. There's something to look into. The TV tape of Tara Reid, I guess it was her mom, on, I think it was Meet the Press or Larry King Live or something. There's been some other reports filed that you can go back and check the record. Neighbors came out that were Tara Reid's neighbors and just talked to media saying, actually, we remember when this happened. She was telling us all about it. So you have stuff, names, dates, some sort of evidence to say, okay, well, You know, I'm hearing a real accusation here. As compared to Kavanaugh, you really had nothing. You had a whiny bimbo looking like she was under mind control. Little Christine Blasey Ford.
Well, and you remember the way her accusation came about was not her coming to the media and them spreading it, just her words verbatim. She went to Nancy Pelosi, who then got in contact with Dianne Feinstein through Adam Schiff, and they helped orchestrate this whole rollout of this entire narrative. Whereas this woman, Tara Reid, seems to have just went on the first place that would accept her. Apparently, she'd asked other outlets if she could come on and say her story. No one let her. I think it was OANN that eventually said, yeah, come on. And she just sat there and told her story. So the way it's rolled out, the way it's been covered, I mean, everything about it just shows the dichotomy between the sides and who's actually going for the truth and who's just using this as political fodder. It's fairly obvious.
Well, and that's what's really sick about this is the politics of it are just exposed again.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with the Democratic left now, the progressive liberal side of things. The facts really don't matter. It's all about their agenda. What's good for the goose is not good for the gander. The Tara Reid story is just another example. But, you know, really, I think we have to be asking ourselves, it's sad, obviously, what we're talking about. But politically, I mean, for real, what is the Joe Biden recovery story? How does Joe Biden recover from this? And now that you have Mika Brzezinski and some other people giving Joe a hard time for this, Chunk Yogurt over at Young Turks, I don't see a recovery for Joe Biden. I just don't see it. To me, it's a sacrificial lamb story now. Because how is this going to live up on the national stage when all of America is actually watching and Trump is actually on the debate stage? Yeah, they can have their moderators and, you know, they'll try to stop things from getting said, but they can't shut Trump's mic off.
Right.
They can't even shut Biden's mic off. I mean, who knows what Biden might slip up and say?
Right. Well, and of course, for Kavanaugh, you had the hearing, which was almost a preordained, you know, an already set up, established place where you could hash this out in a court-like setting. Well, there's not really that for the American presidential campaign. So are we going to convene some sort of thing like that where Joe Biden has to go in front of the Senate and his accuser gets, you know, a couple hours to sit there and tell her story? I mean, that would be the equivalent thing, you know, equivalency. That would be the appropriate thing. Of course, Joe Biden did not call on the FBI to investigate him like he called on the FBI to investigate Kavanaugh and like Kavanaugh invited the FBI to investigate. Remember when his accusations came out, the first thing Kavanaugh did was says, I want the FBI investigating this because I'm innocent and the FBI will prove it.
Yeah, but Joe Biden said that it was his story was hardly investigated by the New York Times.
Thoroughly.
You know. But I have a feeling right now what we're seeing is they're setting up Joe Biden to be a sacrificial lamb because right now the Democrats have nothing to energize them. The average member of the base is like 1984, you know, peon. And they'll go along with the 5 minutes of hate. So I have a feeling they're building up Biden to be a sacrificial lamb right now just to give their Democrat voting base something to be energized over leading into November. Just anything. Slowly roll out how Joe Biden's a creep and then the girls will get younger and younger and it'll get worse. And then they'll flip it. Biden will be the sacrificial lamb and then they'll be the heroes. Mm. Oh, we kept Biden, another rich white male who's abusing women left and right. And we got him out of there. Oh, we Democrats did it again, even though they just, you know, allowed all of it to go down and then just used it as a fake victory. So I don't know. I just don't see a recovery story politically for Joe Biden. I just do not see it.
I don't see it either. And now you've got me worried about an article, a headline I saw today about Hillary Clinton waiting in the wings. And I, you know, you see these articles every once in a while and I just sort of roll my eyes. But now that you're talking about this and now that you sort of play it out in your head and go, okay, what is Joe Biden's path to recovery from this? And it doesn't seem like there is one. It's the Democrats are scrambling behind the scenes, ladies and gentlemen. They're scrambling. They're desperate. God knows what they're going to try to do. But I would be willing to bet money it wouldn't help you or your family, whatever they choose at the end of the day. Now, when we get back, we'll figure it out. I'll have a word with the control room and we'll get the actual clips of the interview with Joe Biden and Mika Brzezinski earlier today, which is, if anything, more absurd than the clips I showed you earlier. Embarrassing, actually. Prepare to be embarrassed on behalf of Joe Biden when we get back on the other side, and I'll show you some of these clips of the interview he did earlier today. This is The War Room. Go to InfoWarsStore.com to support what we do here, and don't go anywhere. You're not going to want to miss this.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
All right, folks, we're sticking with this Biden debacle that has to have the Democrats absolutely panicking as they're scrambling behind the scenes trying to figure out what the hell to do with this presidential candidate that not only can't stay awake during his own endorsement by Hillary Clinton, is just falling apart at the seams, and now has this very credible, especially in the realm of media-supported accusations, a very credible accuser coming out and saying that that she was sexually assaulted by Joe Biden as a underling of his. Just disgusting stuff. And, you know, one of the rhetoric that they use is not always incorrect, right? When Kavanaugh was being accused, it was totally baseless. There was no evidence. There was no reason to believe Christina Blasey Ford. Even if you did believe it, it was questionable as to whether what she was alleging was even really something that serious. I mean, there were so many questions about it. But what did they always? They kept saying, you have to believe women or else you will discourage other women from coming forward.
Believe all women.
Believe all women. And the reason for that was because, look, there could be other women out there. And if they are thinking, hey, I'm going to stand up to this big, powerful man and tell my story, well, they're going to be dissuaded of that if they're seeing how women are being treated. Well, how is Tara Reid being treated? You know, in a realm where Joe Biden as senator has, you know, these young women essentially brought to him to be exploited, there are most likely more than one. And as they look around right now at the media landscape and they see the New York Times and CNN and all these places covering up the Tara Reid accusation, they're saying to themselves, I'm not going to put my name out there. I'm not going to, you know, say anything about this, or they're going to treat me like they're treating Tara Reid. So, I mean, the hypocrisy, it's not just, you know, obvious, evident and upsetting. It's actually damaging to what they propose to be or what they purport to be their own causes they support. So Just another thing to consider here as we venture down this disgusting road. Now, I want to play this clip first because it's probably the most uncomfortable. Get ready to cringe, ladies and gentlemen. This is Joe Biden this morning. This is the actual interview. No tricks this time. This is the actual interview this morning of Joe Biden on Morning Joe. And he's asked about searching for just the term Tara Reid in his University of Delaware records. And here's his response. This is clip 10.
I'm just talking about her name, not anybody else in those records. A search for that.
Nothing
classified with the president or anybody else. I'm just asking, why not do a search for Tara Reid's name in the University of Delaware records?
Oh, man. That's awkward. That's like, I mean, you don't even have a response to that. It's just speechlessness.
And keep in mind, Biden was actually the most unpopular Democrat during the primary process. I mean, I went to, I don't know how many debates and Democrat events. Biden supporters were almost never even found. I mean,
right.
Klobuchar had people traveling. Yang had people at events. I mean, Elizabeth Warren signs you'd even see in Texas. So, I mean, Biden was like the only candidate that had no grassroots support whatsoever. Now, here he is stuck in this precarious position being forced to defend himself. I just don't see, you know, but what's even more sick about this is that the Democrat Party is doing this right in front of everybody. So they're stealing the vote even worse than they did. Because, you know, Bernie Sanders kind of had to, you know, he had to capitulate last time around and he had to capitulate again this time around too. But they forced out Tulsi Gabbard. They basically forced out Marianne Williamson. I'm not saying she's a real candidate to win, but they forced her out. They pretty much forced Yang out too. Yang had a lot of support. So they went with the least popular candidate. Now they're in a precarious position, forced to defend the accusations against him. They can't do it. He's falling off the ledge. So the Democrats are going to have to come forward and just force somebody out there. It just shows how big of a fraud everything the Democrats stand for is. Doesn't it? Oh, We want a woman, or we want a person of color, all of this different stuff. And then they go with Joe Biden, you know, oh, Me Too, believe all women, you know, oh, okay. And then, oh, except if it's a Joe Biden accuser. I mean, remember the Al Franken? I mean, look, Al Franken had a picture of himself pretending to grope Julianne Tweedy's breasts. They threw him out of office. I mean, but Biden gets to get away with this.
Yeah.
And it just shows the media control, the frauds of the Alyssa Milanos of the world. I remember I was watching some movie, Alyssa Milano happened to be in it. She walks around in some scene with a bunch of chicks with their breasts hanging out. Like, give me a break, Alyssa Milano.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, there is almost nothing better in the last, politically, in the last couple months than Alyssa Milano being confronted with the fact that she is supporting Joe Biden and just being forced to just recognize her hypocrisy live on air on that interview. I mean,
it doesn't matter to her.
No, it doesn't matter at all. It doesn't matter to the people who follow her. In fact, what was it? Fire Chris Hayes was trending on Twitter because he dared to even broach the subject. I mean, they are... they take hypocrisy to a weaponized level. And
you know what?
And
before
disgusting.
I forget, because I will forget, you know, they made that thing, the hashtag fire Chris Hayes trend. Because, you know, Twitter manipulates all this.
Of course.
They also had the trend Michigan terrorists yesterday.
Right.
I was so livid at this because I myself have been victimized by terrorism coming from the political left in this country. I've been sexually assaulted. I've been violently assaulted. I've had my rights suspended and abused. I've been arrested. I have been tortured by these political terrorists. And for me to, and by the way, how many shots were fired? How many people got hurt in Michigan yesterday at that protest? None.
Yep.
Zip, zilch, zero. But they're labeled as terrorists. Meanwhile, the leftist agitators go out and assault people, burn property, destroy property, set buildings on fire, attack their political opposition, and they're never labeled terrorists. I'm sorry. I know I'm getting off track here. I was just so livid at that. I'm so sick of the peaceful political operatives in this country like myself and others getting labeled as terrorists when we have done nothing violent ever in our lives. Meanwhile, the political left is literally calling for violence, violent in the streets, all day long, and then somehow they get to use the word terrorist whenever they want, even though there's no violence and they're violent all day long. So that really angered me.
You're skipping ahead here, Owen, because I'm right on the same level with you, and we have a lot of that type of stuff going on with the terrorists, what they're calling the white national terrorists, the way the FBI is treating it, the way that now this is being written into law. It's all about constricting your ability to hold points of view that are at odds with the people who want to destroy you, right? Having your own guns, having free speech, being able to do these sorts of things that America was, founded on. This is being considered terrorism now, and that is one of our big stories today. And we'll be getting into to all that sort of stuff because I totally agree with you. And in fact, one of the most apparent examples of this was, of course, the 20,000 plus strong rally in Virginia, saying don't try to pass gun control. It was heavily armed, 20,000 people. They could have literally gone in, done whatever they wanted. They could have taken over the state house. That was the amount of manpower that was there. Instead, you had no injuries. You had one arrest for one woman who had a mask on, and that was it. Totally peaceful, totally law-abiding. They're considered terrorists. And then what happens? They pass all the gun control laws anyway. So it's like, look, we're trying to be peaceful here. We're trying to show you that we're not messing around, but you got to stop trying to take our rights away. But they don't stop. They keep pressing down. And now they're trying to eliminate our ability to even peacefully assemble and peacefully try to agitate for our rights. And so they are laying the groundwork for violent revolution. They're laying the groundwork for exactly what, once again, they say they're trying to prevent. It's just hypocrisy abounds. It's ridiculous. We'll get into that and more with Greg Reese on the other side. Don't go anywhere, folks. It's The War Room.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The silent majority is no longer silent.
This is The War Room.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are squeezing them in here. We got Greg Reese, Owen Schroyer, and myself, Harrison Smith, behind the desk at the War Room at Infowars.com, band.video. Support what we do here by going to InfowarsStore.com. Take advantage of some of our sales. We're getting a lot of press these days, boys. It looks like our boss, Alex Jones, is trending on Twitter. Greg, why don't you tell us why Alex Jones is trending on Twitter right now?
I think it was a few days ago. I think it was the day before yesterday. I'm not exactly sure when, but I remember I was, I caught it live on air. It's the perfect meme for the, a collapse of the economy and the collapse of the food chain, the cannibal meme. You know, this is Alex just said recently, this is going to be as big as the gay frogs meme.
That was my next question is, do you think this is another gay frogs meme? Because it's the same type of thing that it's like the gay frogs. Yeah, it's a funny meme. You can laugh at it. It's hilarious. We get a kick out of it. But at the same time, what it's addressing is a very serious issue, which is pesticide runoff altering the hormones of the natural world and destroying entire species by manipulating their sex organs. So, like, that's a serious thing. It's anybody who's an environmentalist or just cares about human life on Earth should care about this. But, yeah, you can still laugh at Alex Jones, you know, going off on it because it's funny. Is this kind of the same type of thing where, yeah, it's funny to hear Alex Jones say he's going to eat his neighbors? Like, okay, I'm glad everybody gets a kick out of that. At the same time, look at the meat shortages. Look at the food shortages. Look at the supply chain malfunctioning. This is not a funny thing, really, when you think about it.
It looks like evil people are trying to starve millions of us. That's what it looks like.
It looks an awful lot like that. Yeah. Owen?
I'm just amazed at how quickly the media gets activated and spins things. And, I mean, their attention to detail when it comes to InfoWars is matched by nobody. And I'm telling you, like, you know, we've got people that listen to, you know, all the InfoWars shows almost every day. They won't even miss a minute. But then there's the people at Media Matters and Right Wing Watch. They watch them twice, three times, four times, looking for anything that they can put out there. And I think it's even more sick because, as you know, I went back to St. Louis for a couple days earlier this week to be with friends and family. Guess what is published in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch the day I arrive? Media Matters, Owen Schroyer, violating coronavirus lockdown, spreading disease. Literally in the St. Louis papers, day I arrived, quoting Media Matters, saying I'm spreading disease by violating, making me out to be the demon. And I'm just sitting here thinking, there's no way Media Matters is actually that in tune to Owen Schroyer's activity that they knew I'd be in St. Louis. And so they put a story in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch knowing that I'm extremely popular in St. Louis. So they want to make sure to sully whatever public image they can of me in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Of course, everybody in St. Louis sees it and is like, what the heck? How did you end up in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch today? But I'm telling you, they watch Alex Jones 10 times a day just to find one thing that they can try to twist that he said and then say, oh, see, this is Alex Jones. This is him in a nutshell. He said 5,000 different things in his life and he's very complex, but nope, this is Alex Jones right here. This is him. He's a gay frog.
Yeah, and you know, that reveals another thing too, is that if it was true that for 3 hours a day, 4 hours a day, the Alex Jones show just spread lies, spread white right-wing propaganda, like, they would be writing 10 articles a day about stuff that we say, but instead they have to watch the whole show and they're like, dang it, it's all facts. It's all true. Everything he says is true. They just have to find the thing that, oh, well, this is a little bit ridiculous. Yes, it is true, but it's a little bit ridiculous. So we'll push this. It's almost, you know, what they leave out is that, well, but for 3 hours a day, 5 to 6 days a week, he's telling the truth and there's nothing, you know, we Media Matters can say to try to disclose him. The other interesting thing is, like, when we got kicked off of Twitter last week or whatever it was, the people who hate us, the right wing watch and the Media Matters, actually know more than we do about that situation. We have to go to their articles to see the reason why we were kicked off, because Twitter will tell them. They won't tell us that we're just kicked off with no word. But
and they never asked right wing watch. They never asked for a quote either.
Right.
I mean, I always give the one guy, I mean, I give him credit. People are like, why do you give him any credit? I'm just telling you the truth. The only guy that ever asked me for a quote is Jared Holt. He's the only guy who's ever asked me for a quote ever when writing a story. Now, most of the times his editors chop it up and he can't even get the quote out anyway, but I at least appreciate for him for trying. All these people that write articles about us, they never reach out. I guarantee you all the people that wrote stories about Alex Jones getting ready to eat his neighbors, not a single person reached out for a quote. Not a single one of them. Because it's not about actually quoting us and getting the story right. It's all about making us out to be the boogeyman, hoping that, you know, should you ever be in the arena, hypothetically, you know, politically speaking, with that person, that you've already destroyed their character so they can't have a victory.
Yeah, and I know, Greg, you wear this as a badge of honor like we all do, that, look, they are going after us so hard because we're on the right track. To put it as Alex Jones says, you get the most flack while you're over the target. I know you get a lot of flack, too, but you're over there flying under the radar. It's great.
Yeah, I still have a YouTube channel, and I just had another video deleted in the past 12 hours, they just deleted the true agenda of the World Health Organization, which can still be found on band.video.
Well, now wait, that's interesting because YouTube has come out and said anything that contradicts the World Health Organization will be taken down. So basically by alchemy, what they've said is this is the authority. Now questioning the authority will get you taken down. This is a way these institutions become untouchable and we take away our First Amendment right to criticize the people that rule over us. So you criticizing the WHO, it's not about what they're saying. It's about criticizing the organization itself will no longer be allowed.
Yeah. And their whole illusion is falling apart. You know, it's like the internet is not just InfoWars, but the internet is full of thousands of citizen journalists, normal, regular people, just talking like normal, regular people. And so the mainstream news media full of all these fake sounding people is really
everyone
starting to wear off, I think.
Like this, Greg Reese.
Right. It used
this
to work.
Is normal.
If you don't talk like this, then you shouldn't be trusted.
And that's what I was saying yesterday, too, with this whole, like, everywhere you go, it's all about marketing for the coronavirus. And there's, like, soft music playing, uh-huh. And nice images. And it's like, we all know you're struggling during the coronavirus, but we just want you to know that Big Pharmaceutical has your back and Coca-Cola has your back. And yeah. It's like all of this stuff. It's like, I mean, I want to do the same thing. It's like, doo-doo-doo. It's like, chop off your arm because people out there were born with only one arm. And so you should stand in solidarity. It's like nobody who was born with one arm would ever advocate for you chopping your arm off. But it doesn't matter if you sell it right and you give it the right music with the nice twist. And hey, maybe I should be chopping my arm off
yeah.
over here. And you think that's crazy? Well, maybe there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, the music said so, right? That person had the right voice that they're talking in. And they'll do it for anything, right? I keep hearing on the podcast I listen to, I keep hearing advertisements for like hair dye. And it's like, now we're more stressed than ever, you know, but it. That means you have to take care of yourself, buy our hair dye. And it's like, what does this have to do with like us being, you know, you're just trying to sell me hair dye. Quit with the BS.
But, yeah,
sell me hair dye.
Everything is a spinoff of the coronavirus now, which makes it more deadly and real than it ever was. It like hammers yeah. it home. It's like an amplification of the propaganda.
And the people are doing it too. Like all my YouTube videos are full of like, you know, small business ads now, all you know, sell, you know, like you said, amplifying coronavirus, COVID. It's we're doing it to ourselves. If there's anyone to blame for the downfall of America, it's going to be the people.
Mm.
I mean, that's what makes me the maddest is just seeing how many people are busy policing other people.
Well, and let's be clear, we're not calling for violence here. That's why what happened in Michigan was actually so key. This is like if you're, you know, downtown or something, walking with your family or your wife, and you're in kind of a bad area or an alley and somebody comes out with a knife and is basically like, hey, you know, give me your wallet. And you got a gun on you. Well, you know, you got two options. You can kind of just flash, you know, the butt of the gun and be like, hey, you know, scoot along, show them the gun.
Yeah, wrong target here.
Yeah. And they'll probably be like, okay, they back up. Or you can pull the gun out, and pop the person, kill them right there on the street. You know, both ways get the job done. But we're not at that point yet. We're showing them the gun. We're saying, all right, hey, look,
you know, look, like
you're trying to rob me. I got
exactly.
a, you know, I got a gun right here. It's loaded, so maybe you should back off. Well, they want to keep trying to rob us. You know, eventually, it's not going to be show them the gun anymore.
Right, and of course, this is the thing they fear the most, which is why they're passing gun control laws. And Canada just passed military assault rifle weapons laws after their shooting.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
All right, you're back with the panel, folks. You're back with the InfoWars brain trust here on the War Room. Harrison Smith with Owen Schroyer and Greg Reese. Greg asked the question during the break, what's Donald Trump been up to? In fact, I think the way you put it was, has Donald Trump done anything good today? Because that's what you look for. Every day, Donald Trump gives us a little morsel of goodness to remind us that not everybody in power is stinking of evil. Here is the tweet from President Donald Trump, May 1st at 7:42 a.m. He says, quote, the governor of Michigan should give a little and put out the fire. These are very good people, but they're angry. They want their lives back again safely. See them, talk to them, make a deal. So that's President Trump tweeting in favor of or in support of the protesters. at the Michigan State House there, who went in armed basically to say the Constitution is not done away with just because you think there's an emergency going on.
And I think, too, and I want to go back to my point about this. If you were in a situation, let's say with, again, your kids or your wife or something, and, you know, in a bad area, and someone comes up to you with a knife and is, you know, attempting to rob you, I think we would all agree we would rather de-escalate the situation by showing them a gun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of us would like to pull out the gun and have to shoot a guy on the street, potentially killing him, deal with the cops, deal with all that. Nobody, we don't want to deal with that. We'd rather just say, hey, we can take you out right now. We don't want to. Just leave us alone. Go away. Well, but again, at some point, if the person doesn't drop the knife, if the person doesn't go away, if they keep harassing you, you're forced to ultimately shoot that person to protect yourself and your loved ones. None of us want to, I don't think anybody wants to get to that
point. Nobody wants to get mugged, right?
The people in Michigan don't want it to get to that point. That's why they're saying, hey, they're not even threatened. They're saying, hey, look, you're taking our freedoms. Hey, look, you know, hey, you're trying to rob me. I got a little gun right here. All right, it's time for you to back off. I mean, what I'm afraid of is that they're using, because here's what we always have to remember. They have operatives in place that they use as bait to get to their next level. So they could use Whitmer or Newsom or something to agitate the people so much that they force violence, where citizens feel like violence is my last and only option at this point. We don't want to get there. And then they can say, see, we told you, they're terrorists. They're violent. They're bad people, white nationalists, this, that, the other thing. And then it's just like, you're not allowed to stand up for your rights. They won't mention how your freedoms are being ripped away. It'll be all about how you're bad. That's why when I saw that hashtag Michigan terrorist yesterday, I was so irate because it just showed me the future. It's like, okay, we're planning on setting you guys up, just like we set up Flynn and Roger Stone and Trump and everybody else. We're planning on setting you up. And once we get to that point and you're forced to, you know, do what you got to do, then we're going to twist it and say, see, you're bad. You were the terrorist, just like we said.
Well, and they're also already laying that groundwork for the racism aspect, where they've already got the FBI says their big focus is white national terrorism. I covered it on Monday when I was hosting the War Room, that Beto went on an interview and said, you know, Trump's rhetoric emboldens white
that
nationalist terrorists. Well, they bring him back to spread this sort of nut, to lay the seeds in people's minds that if you're protesting for your rights, really you are helping or you're a part of, or you can be at least be portrayed as a white nationalist, racist terrorist, even though you're literally just like, I want to go to work. I want to have the rights guaranteed to me by my constitution. That is now being, you know, intricately intertwined with white nationalism and you know, domestic terrorism in general. It's disgusting. Greg, do you have something you want to say?
The saddest thing to me is, once again, like the reaction I'm seeing in the people.
Right.
Like these people are so lost that they're willing to take this tiny little morsel of ego boost of walking, of saying, I'm doing my part.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a good person. I'm thinking about others. I'm saving lives by basically just being compliant and submitting to the government. What they need to realize is they're not saving any lives. They're in fact allowing all of this to be possible. They're allowing millions of people to starve to death in third world nations. They're allowing Bill Gates to bring Monsanto seeds into Africa and gentrify the whole country with McDonald's and Pepsi and Coca-Cola. They're allowing mass death and destruction. And all the while they're saying, I'm doing my part.
Right. Because they're given a little, it's almost it's a bow, right? It's a little thing that you do, a little gesticulation that makes you feel good about yourself. Kind of like, you know, if you're an inveterate sinner and then you go and say, oh, please forgive me. And then you feel good about all the sins that you did, right? It reminds me a lot of the climate change emergency and recycling. It's like, okay, you can recycle the plastic that you produce, but you're doing nothing to prevent the massive amount of destruction that's going on across the world, but it makes you feel good when you recycle. It makes you feel like you've done something, and then you can look at the people that don't recycle and go, that's the bad guy. I'm doing my part.
And, you know, really, I think that same logic applies to so many things, which makes it illogical, but it's the same logic. It's like, oh, if I go against Trump, I'm doing my duty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I just stand up against Trump, no matter what it is, facts be damned, I'm doing my duty. I'm a good world citizen. I'm a hero. And it's like they buy into that mentality. And I think, Greg, you're right. The coronavirus is just kind of the most easy to see example of it when you walk around. And I mean, I don't wear a mask, but you see people wearing a mask, and then they look at you like you're trying to kill their grandma because you're not right. Wearing a mask. It's like, oh, it's like,
yeah, it's outrageous. And and these are the same people that, in my opinion, they've never bothered to really look into things, especially themselves. Because once you start looking into yourself and you recognize your own weaknesses and your own strengths, then you're not going to be easily duped into this stupid idea that by staying in your homes, you're being a good person. You'll know what being a good person is and what being a bad person is, because you'll have recognized your own mistakes. You'll have recognized your own flaws and you'll seek to correct them. You don't need the television to tell you.
Yeah, I think I think I retweeted, but somebody had a quote where, you know, they asked us if we would be willing to stay inside to flatten the curve. Everybody in America, pretty much us included, I think, said, you know what? I'm willing to do that. We'll stay at home for a little bit and help the curve flatten. And they've taken that willingness for Americans to sacrifice, you know, take on some sacrifice for themselves in order to, you know, help the community weather this storm. Everybody's willing. They've taken that willingness and weaponized it and taken advantage of it and is now abusing it to the point that we no longer want to. And they're saying, no, now you have to. And they've taken this this willingness of us to say, okay, we'll sacrifice a little bit of ourselves for the greater good. And they've weaponized it and they've increased it and they've just taken advantage of it. Like they take advantage of it, like the you know, asylum program where we say, yeah, we'd love to, you know, if there's people in trouble, and they take advantage of that and suddenly start sending over people that don't qualify. But it's just this constant taking advantage of the goodwill of the American people to destroy them.
And there's no turning back from this one. The damage that's been done on this already, and I don't even think any of us completely comprehend it, but the damage that's been done on this already, I mean, there's no turning back from this. There's no okay, what's next? I mean, they got to just push through on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, the world is definitely going to be, I mean, if we ever even come out of this coronavirus panic. I mean, as of right now, they keep saying, oh, 2021, 2024, like, oh, you can never come out of it. But, you know, it's like a lot of people would be afraid to say this, fear of backlash or maybe even government punishment or something. But, you know, if anybody's been the exact wrong example of this quarantine, it's me. I've flown about 8 times. I've been to 5 rallies. I've never stopped shaking people's hands. I've never worn a mask. And this is all just this calendar year, 2020, which it's pretty much 100% confirmed coronavirus has been here this entire calendar year. So if it was as bad as they say, I would probably be dead. And I'm still here breathing just fine, feeling better than ever. Got some sun today. So they also don't even want that out there as proof that the coronavirus is not as bad as they're telling us. And then see, it's just crap like this. Like, oh, Owen Schroyer coughed around police officers. You know, Timothy Johnson, gosh, I know he's listening right now too. You're lucky I'm too busy to sue your ass to hell. Okay? Because you have printed more fake news about me than anyone else in this world. And you've never asked for comment once. Never once, Timothy Johnson. Never once. And I almost hit my wit's end with you, Timothy. So just realize the next fake news story you print about me may be the last one you print without getting a lawsuit. Okay? Because I'm about at my wit's end with your fake news and your lies. Okay? And you know what? I made a joke about you looking like you like to eat excrement off other people's butts. Maybe it's not such a joke because maybe you really are into that.
You know, this goes back to what we were talking about just previously, where these people go, you know, I'm staying inside. And I read somebody, you know, one of these liberals going, you know, no matter what it takes, I'll do this. And they act like they're sacrificing something by going along with the herd. The reality is, if you go against the mainstream narrative, if you do what we here at InfoWars do and go after the truth rather than what you're being told, the entire system tries to destroy you. We really do make sacrifices every single day of our loved ones, of our ability to get jobs because of the positions that we hold. Meanwhile, we're being told by the people that run the system, I'm sacrificing so hard for you right now. It's infuriating, hypocritical, and endless. And
yeah, we're all sacrificing somehow. Like everybody, because we're all losing. That's what that
ridiculous
means.
Well, thank you for joining us. Greg Reese, find his videos at band.video. Share that stuff.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Chad Sullivan. Regional Director of RCALF USA, is a fifth-generation Colorado rancher and recently delivered this message.
Hey, everybody. This is Shad Sullivan coming to you from the headwaters of Bitter Creek, Archer County, North Texas. We have to talk. State officials will be assisting to help identify potential alternative markets if a producer is unable to move animals and, if necessary, advise and assist on depopulation and disposal methods. Ladies and gentlemen, we are plowing under vegetable crops from coast to coast. We are euthanizing millions of chickens. We are aborting sows and burying feeder pigs. We are dumping milk by the hundreds of thousands of gallons, and now they are preparing us to depopulate the fat cattle ready to harvest because of a bottleneck created by the effects of COVID. This thing hasn't been created by COVID, but the effects of COVID and the logistics therein. Yesterday, the first shipment of imported beef from the country of Namibia hit the shores of the United States of America. And yet this morning, they are telling us to prepare to euthanize harvest-ready cattle. It is time we get food on the shelves, because if you're not concerned about this food supply problem, you better be. We have a huge supply and demand of food across this nation. We can feed the world ourselves, and yet we're destroying our harvests. At the same time, we are importing beef from other countries, beef that is less regulated than our beef, less safe, not as high quality of product, and yet it's happening. At the same time, they are preparing for us to euthanize our harvests. That doesn't sound like sustainability to me, but it is part of the overall goal to vertically integrate your food system. You see, they cannot have control of the people unless they have control of the food, the water, the land, production. It is time we get back to work. We are of, by, and for the people. This is not Nancy Pelosi's country. This is not Donald Trump's country. This is your country, and you're going to go hungry.
And while American farmers are destroying their harvests, U.S. beef is exported to China. U.S. meat plants are closing at a rapid rate, including Cargill Meat, who supplies 22% of the U.S. meat market, and who partnered with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in 2018 to end livestock production while expanding the production of genetically modified soy in Africa. Reporting for Infowars.com, this is Greg Reese.
Yet another great video by our very own Greg Reese. You know, warning about the imminent collapse of the food chain and the meat shortages. Now here on the first day of May, it feels an awful lot like warning about the coronavirus around January 15th. It seems like we're the only ones looking around and seeing what's down the road and saying, you should be prepared for this. You should prepare yourself for this. Our government should be working to mitigate what we see inevitably coming down the pipe. And yet we're the only ones out here shouting into the forest, and no one seems to be hearing us or caring. A little bit, you know, maneuvers here and there of people trying to protect the farmers, trying to prevent the destruction of crops, et cetera, but it's happening. It will continue. Expect food shortages imminently, and it's not until it's too late that the government will come in and try to fix everything and simply impose a bunch of more controls like they always do, like they've done with coronavirus. So, folks, we're warning you now. The food supply shortage is coming. Prepare yourself. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Get some of our prepared food. Also get some of the fantastic supplements that are now back in stock and on sale, including X2 and the Ultimate Krill Oil. All fantastic stuff, but also don't forget about the storable food, folks. It'll be very important very shortly. folks. We got stories, of course, on Joe Biden, stories about General Flynn, stories about the coronavirus and the response continuing, as always. My name is Harrison Smith. This is the second hour of the War Room, and I am joined at this very moment by the one and only Owen Schroyer, who wasn't supposed to be here today. You know, we try to give the man a day off. He refuses to go enjoy himself. He has to come back and work and spread the word and talk crap to the mainstream media. And, frankly, I can't say I blame you, but...
Maybe if I could go to a beach or a bar or something, I could actually just kind of decompress.
Yeah, Owen Schroyer just admitted to wanting to kill your grandmother. Oh, no. Another man we cannot get to take a break.
I will eat your ass.
I'm just glad I'm not your neighbor, okay? there were some houses available in your neighborhood, and I went ahead and said, you know what? I have a feeling someday that that guy down the street is going to hang me up and cut me up and chop me up and grill me someday. So I decided not to.
Of course, they ignored the five-minute rant that came before it where I told the Pentagon report within 10 days. Most people become cannibals. They either commit suicide or they start eating people. And I was saying Jonathan Swift, the modest proposal from a few hundred years ago about the Irish were all starving to death. And they said, well, let's just cook Irish children. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Swift wasn't serious. It's called satire, folks. And it was awaiting people to talk about the 135 million the UN admits are now starving to death.
But, you're not trending because you broke the story on the Wuhan lab 3 months ago. You're trending because you're talking about eating your neighbors. Because that's what the big Alex Jones story is. It's not all the accuracies about Epstein and Bill Gates. And no, it's about he said he wants to eat his neighbors. So that's who Alex Jones is. Gay frogs eats his neighbors. That's your legacy, Alex. You've done nothing else except make frogs gay and barbecue your neighbors.
And that was actually the atrazine did that.
So, I mean.
And it's the global collapse will cause the eating of the neighbors. I would never eat my neighbors. It's an allegory of the collapse of society. Jonathan Swift, folks, they taught us to it in sixth grade.
The irony is the people that write those stories.
Yeah. You're always a historian. Tell them about Jonathan Swift.
The modest
proposal.
The modest proposal. It's one of my favorites.
Let's eat the Irish children. Why not?
Yeah.
I don't really mean that.
Let's burn them for fuel. That's a great source of green energy. All the abortions we can harvest and burn them for fuel.
Let's just burn all the old kids that have under 100 IQ. Let's just burn them.
Yeah.
We already use babies for fuel at the hospitals.
Yeah.
And flavoring, too.
So it's like Jones wants to burn babies. You're the ones that do it.
That's what I was saying is the people that wrote that story would be the ones that actually would eat their neighbors. Alex Jones would actually feed his neighbors. that's the irony.
No, that's what I'm actually trying. That's why listen. I'm not some goody-two-shoe. I'm not perfect. I have real empathy, though, man. 135 million people are going to starve to death next year. That's a real number. Millions are already dying right now. 300,000 a week. Because when we go from first world to third world, we just become poor. They die. And I can't. It's not some virtue signal. We got to do something, man. So I'm telling all these rich trendies want to wear your mask and stuff. Stuff breaks down the road warrior. You're a pussy. I will eat you if I have to. That part at the end, if everything goes that bad, but I don't want it. I mean, I guess I'd let my kids starve to death, actually. My freaking trendy neighbors will probably come eat me.
Well, it's we're comparing...
That's some quality beef.
Yeah. Kobe fed, man.
That's some grade A beef right there.
Now, we joke about this. Let me tell you, man. Let me tell you something. I've been in the third world. And I've seen it, man. These people are not allowed to have industry. They're being kept dumb. They're being dyed, and they're starving to death, man. These kids get all skinny and are all like, you see all these videos, all the kids are like, ooh, they want food. If cold comes by, they just die.
Yeah.
Well, that's how it works. You really want to sign on to that? It's not some virtue signal. These are real people.
Yeah. Well, we're comparing it to the gay frogs thing because they're going to laugh at you getting mad at what is a very real issue that is very dangerous. The destruction
of the
natural
frogs
world.
Are dying because the males can't have babies anymore. Like this new drug that Fauci says is so good. Turns out it eats your testicles.
Mm. And it turns out...
I'm probably not a meme of that making a joke out.
Yeah, it turns out that the same people who are going to profit off these tests and these vaccines are going to profit off the Remdesivir or whatever it is, too. So it's all about making themselves rich. Bill Gates is making billions of dollars during this coronavirus outbreak. He's set to make billions more. No investigation into that. No investigation into the Wuhan lab where the lady's set to make millions. Just let it all happen.
Why do you think? Because I was mad coming out of break. And I was reading about 135 million to starve to death. And I was pissed. And I was like, yeah, you know what? All you trendies, because they cut all that out where I explain like things break down. You don't understand this is what happens. This is what it's like in the third world. And to them, it's a joke. So they turned it into Alex Jones will eat his neighbors. No, my neighbors are fine.
Right. Well, it's also about dependency on the system, right? People who are utterly dependent on the system to feed them and clothe them and house them.
Yeah, there's a lot of long hams.
Yeah, they're going to defend that system with their lives because it is their lives.
I joked around one of the crew members over there that's even bigger than me, and I said, man, you're like a month's supply of food. It's a joke. But, you know, you collapse society with 7.5 billion people with only 5% being self-sufficient, it will be zombie hour really fast. That's what I was trying to illustrate, like Jonathan Swift, to treat people like humans. You don't take the Irish kids, the Irish potato famine, hundreds of thousands were dying, the kids were dying. No one, they were like, oh, screw the Irish, they're subhuman. For whatever reason, the English were saying that. And I was saying, you know, really, should we go back to eating kids like Jonathan Swift said?
Well, how do we even have a situation where we're pouring out thousands of gallons of milk, you know, putting down a bunch of chickens that could have been food and all this stuff? I mean, why aren't we trying to get that to poor people? We have people telling us all day long how great they are for trying to feed the poor and taking care of the less fortunate. Yeah, well, where are they today?
Depression breakdown, they think it's cutesy foot.
So it's just
not
another example.
Foot.
And dude, the craziest thing is that there are articles. I just typed in Vice cannibalism, and there's like four articles saying, you know, cannibalism isn't as edgy as you think. Like the leftists will actually talk about eating animals. Yeah,
where mouth is predicted at the end, humans would only live off each other. That's where Soylent Green comes from.
Mm.
And so that's why they're like, oh, Alex is into eating people now. We like this. It's really sexy. This is all an anti-human deal. I was saying, you're sick. Are you going to start eating your neighbors? This is what it's really like. And plus, I also said the rant. It was a full segment, not 1 minute long. I said, you understand you guys want to be cannibals over us? It'll be us that eat you in that type of scenario. Like, I eat the liberals. You don't eat me. I don't want to eat you, by the way. But I'm just saying, you get in that war, dude. Obviously, you're on the spit, not me. Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
This office could take on like 5,000 liberals. I mean, we don't want to eat them either. They're all scrawny and look retarded and everything.
Not grade A beef.
It's not grade A beef.
Yeah, we only right, like the high
big,
grade.
Fat cows everywhere that Bill Gates is trying to ban.
Yeah.
But we don't want to eat you. I know you're really fantasizing. You're like, Alex has joined us. He's anti-human. No, I'm saying that's where you're leading us, dumbasses. I love the videos online, though. Like, people are all freaking out watching, like, earlier. They're like, oh, the juicy beef of it. This big national talk show host, not bragging, but called up just a minute ago, was like, this is your greatest work. He said, don't sass that. This is your, the whole office up here at the top number one show in the country is just totally watching this over and over again. It's like, it's
bigger than gay frogs.
Let me guess, it's Jonathan Swift. That's a smart person.
Mm.
He goes, I got the whole rant. I mentioned Swift in it, but I was like, you know, since we're not going to care about humans, let's just start eating them. Hell, I'll eat my neighbors. You know, if getting rid of humans is a good thing. But there's still thinkers that got what I was doing.
Well, don't abort that baby. I mean, that's a week's worth of food.
7 pounds of meat.
Come on now. Get some of that. Get some of that juicy bone broth. All right, you get.
That's not good.
There you go.
Here's the thing. You can't punch Alex Jones in the arm because he likes it.
Alex is a weak old man.
He likes the punch. He gets energy from it. He like just absorbs it and it's just like, ugh. All right, Alex. Alex, use the door, please, this time. Don't break through the wall.
Kool-Aid Man on the range. What's that Spitzwalt liquor bowl? I love that. I don't do that for liquor. I do it for some good piece of ass, though.
All right, I can't wait for this to be next. What are they going to type next about Alex? Alex Jones said he's going to marinate his neighbors in malt liquor.
God dang.
Alex Jones says he's going to bathe in Old English before he eats his neighbors.
Alex Jones smears Thomason Swift as a... Thomas Swift as a
Harrison
cannibal.
Smith and Owen Troyer openly endorse Alex Jones cannibalism on air. The nerve.
Look, I'm safe. I'm stringy over here. No one's going to want to eat me. I'm good.
Hey, the good news is, though, the country is reopening, but we cannot let, because you're already seeing Zuckerberg and Fauci and Gates saying, oh, no, we can't open. And now that the country's reopening, they'll probably start rolling headlines and press releases. COVID spikes again. Death spike again. All your fault for reopening. We can't fall victim to that. It's going to be more fake news.
Right. I mean, even if they just open up the hospitals and more sick people start going who now are just not getting medical care, they'll go, they'll get medical care. Some of them might die. And then that'll be counted as coronavirus. I mean, they got the whole system rigged. The game is rigged.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show
You know, it is kind of refreshing, Owen, to see the mainstream media actually dislike cannibalism. I wasn't sure that that was one of the taboos that they weren't ready to do away with yet. In fact, I've searched some terms here. Of course, Reza Aslan actually ate human brains as part of a CNN documentary. So if you're watching CNN, you're supporting a man who literally has eaten people. My name's Harrison Smith. That Chiron is wrong.
Ooh, unleash.
Oh, yeah. I'm on everything right now. Guys, let's bring up this this side screen.
I'm glad someone else here keeps the crew in check.
trying my best.
Man.
Let's bring up this side screen. We have Reza Aslan outrages Hindus by eating human brains in CNN documentary. That's one of them. Here we have Vice News asking, why is cannibalism gross? They're not sure. They have their questions. We asked an expert why you think cannibalism is gross. You also have Vice Motherboard saying cannibalism, not as edgy as you think. So there you go. Vox has this article, 7 surprising facts about cannibalism. It's actually not so bad, they'll have you know. And then, of course, let's not forget Marina Abramović. And I don't even want to open these photos, to be quite honest with you, because I'm not sure what we can show across the internet. But these are the elites. These are their, the people they love, the artists they admire, literally portraying the act of cannibalism and drawing some sort of spiritual power from this. So, yes, let's laugh at Alex Jones saying he's going to eat his neighbor. Meanwhile, the elites are all about destroying every human taboo, the pinnacle of which is cannibalism. And you can really see that if you go back and read, honestly, just read the diaries of people discovering tribes in like Fiji Island or in Central Africa in like the 1700s, 1800s. You want to talk about nightmare fuel. I mean, there's no Hollywood movie that will ever have the type of scenes that were witnessed by some of the first Europeans to visit some of these far corners where cannibalism was a main staple of their diet. It's horrific beyond description. And that's the world we're going down, right? You strip away all of this nonsense about civilization and religion and pride and self-respect and humanity. You strip all that away and what you're left with is just tribes of people eating each other alive. And this is, I think, part of what Alex Jones was trying to get across with his diatribe.
Well, it's just like if I came out and did some rant and I like acted all loony, like I'm going to abort all your children and then I'm going to take their aborted fetal cells and I'm going to inject them into your body. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Well, would they publish the headlines? InfoWars host says he wants to inject you with dead babies. Well, that actually goes on. You guys are actually doing that to us. And so it's like, that's why I find this whole, like you talk about the coronavirus, okay? And you say, hey, I don't want to get a vaccine. They're like looking at you like you're crazy. Like, oh my gosh, you're going to cause people to die. You won't get the vaccine. It's like you advocate injecting dead baby tissue into your body. That's what you're advocating for. You're right. I'm not advocating for that. I'm okay taking that stance. And I'm the crazy person? I'm the loony because I don't want to inject dead baby tissue into my body? I forget. Somebody said something about the flu shot. You know, everybody takes the flu shot. The flu shot doesn't even work.
Right.
It literally doesn't even work. And you have the so-called experts saying, well, you know, we don't know a lot about this coronavirus yet, but you should probably just take a flu shot just in case.
Yeah, just in case.
Just in case.
Even though the flu shot this year did pretty much nothing to prevent the flu. And
well, according to the numbers, nobody's died of the flu this year. So maybe it was the greatest flu shot of all time.
Isn't that interesting when you no longer count flu deaths as flu deaths? All the flu deaths disappear. Isn't that a funny coincidence? How am I doing this year? That's a good cartoon right there. There's a lot of talented anti-vaxxers out there. I have to be honest. There's a lot of good stuff.
And I just wish, because look, I understand wanting to stray away from controversial issues when you're just trying to reopen the economy and get your civil liberties back. But the connection to Bill Gates, vaccines, and the coronavirus is, it's not that it's real, it's everything. It is driving it. Mm-hmm. It is now the driving factor. It is what's going to be forced for us to give up our civil liberties until the end of time. It's take Bill Gates' vaccine. Mm-hmm. Take the Bill and Melinda Gates vaccine. even though everywhere Bill Gates goes on the internet, he's completely rejected whole cloth. Doesn't matter. Take his vaccine if you want to be free again, because that's freedom.
Yeah. And I mean, just the, you know, just the various sources of information that you can, you take all of these various sources and you draw the lines between them, from them publishing white papers 10 years ago about how this would happen and getting it down perfectly to the event 201 in October of 2019. You look at everything that they said before this happened. You look at everything they've said since it happened. You look at the way they're praising China and the way China is dealing with this. I mean, China, I have a headline. China is installing cameras outside and sometimes inside people's apartments and houses, just straight up Orwell. I mean, it's just straight up 1984 Orwell, and our elites are slavering for this. They are desperate for this. But Owen, I want to, in the last 2 minutes of this segment here, I just want to read you this headline and get your feedback on this. Here's the headline from LifeSite: Pope Francis financially bails out transsexual prostitutes struggling with no street customers. Just what is your first impression upon hearing this headline? Pope Francis has, out of the kindness of his heart, chosen to take on the support of transsexual prostitutes now that they can't get customers.
No, I would say this is a nice way of the Pope coming out and admitting he's gay.
I mean, he's, that's like, obviously, I will be your customer.
Yeah, that's obviously what this is. So the Pope is now soliciting street hookers, and, you know, that's his way of supporting the street hooker community. And so it's really a noble act for Pope Francis to finally come out as gay and to be hiring these drag queens to come service him, obviously to support their dying business. This is what it's all about. There's nothing, there's no other motive here. He's not even enjoying it, other than the fact he's just helping these poor people who can't seem to get any work. But the Pope is now saying that he will bring in any transsexual hooker and he will financially support you. So that's good. That's good.
And I know the Catholics out there, when they're sitting in their pews, you know, and the collection plate is being passed and they put their money in there, they're saying, I really hope this money goes towards supporting the lifestyle of transsexual prostitutes in Italy. I know that this is what the Catholic Church is all about. It's what it was founded to do, is take care of these transsexual prostitutes.
All right. I've just been given a breaking news story right now, and the connection immediately goes into my head here. Headline: University of Texas under investigation for working with Wuhan Laboratory. Let's not also forget that the University of Texas got caught with the Chinese propaganda academia wing Confucius. That was about 3 years ago. So now you've got UT Texas linked to China Wuhan Lab, and you've got UT Texas linked to the China Confucius propaganda. But, you know, I saw something. I want to try to find this headline before we go to break, but it was basically saying how, oh, it did not come out of a lab. Don't say it came out of a lab. Right. That's impossible.
You're saying that now. Of course, we have Harvard, but people in Harvard are, I can't under see fire.
Oh, yeah,
this
here
exact
it is.
Same thing.
San Francisco Gate. No evidence that deadly bat virus came out of Wuhan lab. No evidence? No evidence, Harrison.
No evidence.
Literally out of the back door, literally right in the backyard, literally the same virus they've been working with, but no evidence.
No evidence at all.
I mean, you know, no evidence. I found your blood at the scene of the crime, but I don't have any evidence.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. Talk radio great again.
This is the War Room
with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
All right, folks, the crew is working busily to get everything handled here. Savannah Hernandez has just released a video about the protest and reopening of Texas. As of this morning, we'll be bringing you that video in the first 5 minutes of the next hour. Of course, you can find it before then at band.video. Of course, I've been through this entire show without plugging too much, without letting you know about our sales here on InfoWars. Once again, irresponsible of me, because this is how we're able to do all of this. So if you want us to keep doing this, if you like what we do and want to support trying to get the truth out there, trying to predict what is coming down the line and warning you about it so you can do what you can to mitigate the machinations of the New World Order, Well, you can support us by going to InfoWarsStore.com. Right now, we have back in stock the X2 Deep Earth Crystal Iodine, which is, of course, one of our most popular products, has been sold out and is now back in stock and is now at 50% off. So take advantage of that. You can also take advantage of the Ultimate Krill Oil. Super Male Vitality is also on sale. That's 35% off. The Krill Oil is 50% off. And of course, the new release, which I absolutely love, is the Imrix Essential Hand Sanitizer Combo, which is not like the goopy alcohol-laden hand sanitizer, you know, chemically manipulated hand sanitizer that you'll get at most stores. It smells amazing. It's got a spray bottle, so it's a real light mist that you mist on your fingers. And I was saying last time I was hosting, I was walking through the studio and I suddenly hit this wall of like lavender, and it smelled so good in the corner of the studio because Alex Jones had been filming a commercial in that like 2 days before. It was like for 2 days, the whole studio smelled like refreshing lavender because he'd sprayed that Imrix Essential Hand Sanitizer, which you can now get that hand sanitizer combo at 50% off. And when you do, you support everything that we do here. That's a win-win, a 360 win, as Alex Jones terms it. So please do that. And we really appreciate it when you do. Now, we got so much stuff to talk about. Where do you want to go, Owen? What do you want to talk about now?
Well, there's some good news as far as the tyrant left trying to shut our country down. Mass protests happening in California right now. I was just told that there was a mass arrest of a bunch of Antifa members here in Austin as part of a rent strike. We'll see if that gets printed or not. I wonder if these are the same people that were assaulting me the other night after Mike Ramos was shot at that protest.
They're like, don't charge us rent, but also don't let us work to pay rent.
By the way, and I think there was basically I've tried to make an olive branch out to Antifa, but there was kind of an Antifa unofficial rep, I would say, who came up to me and was like trying to catch me in off guard. Like, well, are you, cause I was out there earlier today. Like, well, are you going to support the rent protests? Like, expect me to say no. And I said, no, absolutely. They have the right to protest. 100% they can protest. Yeah, I totally support that. And he was like, well, all right then. So, I mean, yeah, you can protest anything you want. I'm not going to.
People with no convictions expect you to not have any convictions, right? Like, it's crazy. People who are, you know, ideologically bent expect you to be so as well. We, on the other hand, typically here at InfoWars have pretty well-established principles that we follow that, yeah, can lead us to seemingly switch sides occasionally, but in reality, we're on the same side, and it's our side. It's the side of the American people.
I mean, this is the fascism, as Elon Musk put it out. I mean, we're seeing the fascism now, but here's a couple other examples. Upstate New York, backlash over virus shutdown. It's not up here. It's not in Albany. It's not in Buffalo. It's in New York City. They're getting upset. California cities vote to sue Gavin Newsom.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice, as he just made a $1 billion deal with a Chinese company.
And the legislature in Michigan is now suing the governor for exceeding her authority.
And they basically rejected her emergency shutdown extension as well.
So some good news.
But it's like duh. It's like the right. Duh factor. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh yeah, because they have no basis to continue the shutdown other than just the fear that they've been trying to sell us. Well, you've been selling it the fear long enough. You're the boy that cried wolf with the old coronavirus going to kill you thing. So it's not going to work. But I think that the Democrats are using this right now to try to, let's say, reshuffle their deck politically. And they want to get the Gretchen Wichner's out in front. Mm-hmm. They want to get the Cuomo's out in front. I saw this story from CNN. CNN has published, I mean, the fakest news you could ever imagine. I'm serious.
No.
This may be their fakest news headline you've ever seen right here.
That would be quite an accomplishment.
Andrew Cuomo may be the single most popular politician in America right now. CNN today.
I'm not sure if that's more damning of CNN's reporting or the American people.
Can you imagine?
Maybe both.
Andrew Cuomo could have a rally in New York City tomorrow and people would show up with rotten tomatoes to throw at his head. Okay. And, you know, he might be popular in the underground nipple piercing community, but that's a small community. In the overall state of New York and America, very unpopular. So just CNN just can't stop. No, CNN can't stop printing fake news.
But you know what? Going back to what we were just talking about before, how the left is using this, you know, as an excuse to try to destroy the Constitution, try to just put us into these into this box. And we see that. Whereas the Republicans are, weirdly enough, using the virus, using the lockdown, using the backlash as an excuse to just try to get regular laws to be enforced. I have the story here from NewsWars.com. Representative Gates files bill to deport all illegals during pandemic. It's like, I mean, this is, you know, you can imagine the idiocracy future where it's like Representative Gates files a bill to jail criminals. And it's like, how are we in a world where you have to file a separate bill, a new bill, to just enforce the laws that have been on the books for 100 years? This is where we are now, that we have to take advantage of this pandemic just to pass bills to support the laws that have been on the books forever. This should he should not have to file a bill to deport all illegal immigrants because they should all be deported already. It's ridiculous, but this is where we are.
It's the clown world. And, you know, here, as if the CNN headline saying Cuomo is the most popular politician in America isn't clown world enough. Again, it's the Washington Post. Ted Cruz called out the Washington Post for being Chinese propaganda today, by the way, saying again, it did not come out of a Wuhan lab. So that's their new thing. It never came out of the Wuhan lab. There's no evidence of this at all. Quit saying that. I mean, they're literally carrying China's water, promoting Chinese propaganda. You can't even believe it. And then, but you know, here's another little cherry on top. They're also saying, and they made major push notifications to your cell phone. So you probably got this on a push notification to your cell phone. White House holds first press briefing in over a year. Donald Trump has first official press briefing since March 3rd, 2019. And you're sitting here thinking, wait a second, what have I been watching every day for the last 3 months? Oh, no. That's not an official press briefing. That's a coronavirus task force briefing. It's totally different.
They are whiny, spoiled, bratty children who don't want anything except to destroy those that are better than them. So
now hold on a second.
No.
You saw the CNN report. You know that they did not have burgers stacked a mile high.
Oh, yes. We did the math. We broke down the math.
It was a half mile.
But think about this. It's just yet another example where it's like Donald Trump doesn't have any press conferences. OK, he starts having press conferences. Donald Trump is having too many press conferences. Donald Trump doesn't have a spokesperson. Why does Donald Trump hide behind a spokesperson? It's like, stop. Don't try to appease these people. Don't pay attention to their vacuous complaining. They are just going to complain whatever you do. Whatever Donald Trump does, they will complain about, even if it's piling a mile high stack of burgers in the most American explosion of flavor you've ever seen. They don't even want that.
You know what you do to a gnat in your ear?
What do?
You squash it. You squash it like a bug. But I mean, I've never forgiven the president for claiming he had burgers stacked a mile high, when even if you combined the chicken sandwiches with the burgers, it would still not be a mile high. The president is yet to answer for this lie. The president is yet to explain himself.
We need another impeachment counsel. We need to get to the bottom of this mile high burger thing once and for all.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
As we travel down the tube of misinformation and disinformation to do battle against the real life Bowser of our world, which is, of course, the New World Order and those that would serve it. Just incredible headlines across the board. You have just on Infowars.com, folks. Austria, police may intervene if they see people kissing. My goodness. This is exactly what we need. Thank you, Austria. Thank you. Prominent scientists warned in 2013 of Chinese labs, quote, appalling irresponsibility with viruses. But I think WaPo has researched this and they say totally unfounded, totally impossible that it would come out of a lab, which actually I don't even think they're saying. I think they've now subtly drawn the distinction where they say there is absolutely no proof that it was man-made. And it's like, Oh, but it did come from the lab? Well, it looks like it may have come from the lab. But there's no proof that it was man-made. I think that's sort of the manipulation that they're working with right now.
Well, they just don't want to be, blatant speciesists and blame bats. But they've kind of been put into that position. And so they're going to be blaming bats now. I mean, think about the innocent bats, you know, this is Bat City here in Austin, Texas. We have a very large bat population.
We do.
And so I would just like to encourage people, come on down to Bat City. There's nothing to be afraid of.
Have a big old bowl of bat soup,
you know, or don't, or just observe the bats as they fly out from under the Congress Bridge. But, you know, Nancy Pelosi, when the virus was spreading, she said, hey, come on down to the, little Chinatown. Mm-hmm. So come on down to Bat City. Come on down to Bat City in Austin, Texas, and enjoy all the bats here. And if you dare say that this Wuhan flu Chinese virus came from a bat, I'm going to have to call you out on your blatant speciesism and your clear, distinct hatred of bats.
Yeah, get ready to get kicked off Twitter.
Because I'm not going to sit here and let innocent bats take
God-fearing
the fall.
God-fearing bats. Who are just trying to live their lives, come under the scorn of these white nationalist terrorists.
I'm hurt.
To tell us. Yeah.
I'm hurt that the Democrats would blame innocent bats.
I'm glad you're willing to speak for the bats. You know, you're showing that you're aware of your privilege and you're actually using that privilege to actually help the bats.
Well, someone has to care about the bats.
You're kind of a hero.
It's obvious to me that the left in America doesn't even think twice about the innocent bats. I mean, think about how many people are going to grow up now scared of bats, hating bats, all because they've been unjustly blamed for this coronavirus when it was clearly the Chinese.
It was clearly made in a lab by Chinese scientists with support of Bill Gates and the Obama administration.
You know, that's the irony here is that it's not even about blaming China. It's not that we hate the Chinese people. I would love to actually see not... It's like we're basically up against the point where there's going to be a big war with China. It's going to be called World War III. It'll be the United States and China. And it'll be a fake war that just the corporations and the power structure will win. And the American people and the Chinese people will suffer. Or it'll be a real war and we'll actually have a real world economy that doesn't have slave labor in China and will free the people of China, which will in turn obviously help the Chinese people and will help the people of America who have been... had their economy sucked dry by China. So that would be the real result of this. But, you know, I just think it's sad, again, that bats are catching a bad rap for this. And, this is all... So when you see violence happening against bats, just know that it's because of the Democrat Party.
Even if it's bat on bat, within the bat community.
Bat on bat crime is increasing now. And I'm looking right at you, Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so bats are actually awesome, and it is cool living in Austin. You walk around about 8 p.m. at night, you see them swooping down there. They are pretty cool and take care of a lot of bugs and actually prevent a lot of disease. So I would appreciate you not besmirching their good name.
That's true. We'd have all these mosquitoes spreading the Zika.
The Zika. That was the big one, right? That was the Obama administration took Zika so seriously. You know what they did? They funded a lab in Wuhan to research SARS and MERS. That's how seriously they took SARS and Zika.
Millions of dollars.
Yeah, millions of dollars to them. Obviously, in coordination with Harvard and University of Texas.
Texas now just came out today. So you got Harvard with Charles Lieber. You've got UT. You've got Obama. And that's what I was going to say, too, is, you know, the lab in Wuhan needs to have a serious investigation. I said that we need every name that has ever gone in or come out of that lab in the last 10, maybe 20 years. And every single one of them needs to be questioned about this. This is, I'm kind of trying to have a little lighthearted fun today just because everything is so crazy. But seriously, this is probably, as far as a worldwide scope and scale.
That's unprecedented.
This is the biggest crime against humanity to ever happen.
Yeah.
There is no doubt about it because we've had our bodies literally penetrated by a man-made virus. Okay. Your bodies have been penetrated by a man-made virus. Most people probably won't get sick. And the worst thing it'll do is probably lower men's fertility another 5 or 10%, just, part of the bigger depopulation.
But it's
program.
Here forever. Like it's a
exactly.
part of the human race.
It's already
from
here.
Now on.
It's already here. It's never going away. It'll be in every single human on Earth's body, a man-made virus. That is biological warfare, whether it was intended to be or not. This is the biggest crime against humanity in world history. And to all those people that say my body, my choice when it comes to abortion, well, did you choose to have a virus put into you? Because guess what? You did. You do now. And I guarantee you, I mean, you're already seeing it. The guy tested positive for the antibodies in Wisconsin. He's like, yeah, I haven't been sick since last December. So he probably had coronavirus in December. It's been here, folks. We had dozens of hockey games and basketball games and football games and Super Bowls, and it didn't spread worse. So even though we know all the facts and the models were wrong, it doesn't matter. It's Trump's fault. It didn't come out of a lab. And if you dare stand up for your freedom to not be a slave, well, then you are responsible for anyone dying. That's the new world order that the Democrats and the globalists are pushing right now. And quite frankly, I'm not going to be a part of it. I'd rather live, but I'm not going to be alive to be a part of it.
Now, when you say the models are wrong, are you talking about the predictions that are made, or are you talking about the idiots on Instagram who are dancing around TikTok and telling me to stay inside? Which models are you referring to here?
We do actually have new. We did say we would document every nursing video that comes out.
Lord,
so guys, just roll them as B-roll. We don't need to play the whole thing. They can just roll them as B-roll. But we do have more. We document every one here for the audience on the War Room. But no, I do make a habit of looking for insight intellectually from what's that supermodel who's like the spokesperson for the coronavirus masks now? Naomi something, Naomi Campbell maybe. Well, she's a supermodel. Obviously, supermodels known for their high IQ and intellect and ability to reason with logic and common sense and problem solving. And so I always have made a habit of looking up to supermodels to make philosophical, intellectual decisions. I remember growing up mainly being influenced by the genius of Paris Hilton and other like geniuses, Nicole Richie. I mean, these are the types of intellectual giants that are going to save the American youth. But yes, here are all the nurses' TikTok videos that has a lot of people really wondering. You said there was no equipment for protective masks and stuff, yet you're out here using them for a video shoot. You said the hospitals were overwhelmed, yet you have time to coordinate dance videos and dance routines. You're still getting paid. You're still employed while a bunch of Americans are suffering. So,
you got to put yourself in their position. And really, I want to, you know, they're sitting around. They're bored because nobody is coming into the hospital because this is all largely a hoax, and they, you know, don't have much to do, and they get on TikTok and they see another hospital is dancing around with a fake corpse, and you think, yeah, that would be fun. Couldn't we do that? Couldn't you see Jeremy dancing like that in the break room? And you want to go out and you want to do this because you think it's fun. You don't have anything else to do because everybody's being told there's no other services except for coronavirus treatment, and nobody in your area actually has coronavirus, so you're stuck twiddling your thumbs, and you think it might be fun to put together a little dance video. Stop it. Just stop it. From all of us here, stop it. You stop it too. No, we're not dancing.
Look at how overwhelmed the crew is. Look at how overwhelmed they are.
Those are the true heroes. Can we get some comics of Superman saluting the InfoWars crew as they're doing TikTok dances?
Look at how overwhelmed the crew is doing coordinated dance routines.
I just want the nurses to know how we see them. Just stop it. You stop it.
No self-awareness. No dance. Seriously, though, like, I see these videos and I'm just like, you know, I remember when the girls used to organize at recess, you know, when we were in like third grade.
Yeah. Stop dancing.
And they'd like do like jump rope routines and all that stuff. I mean, this is like little girl activity. This is like grade school, you know, girls jumping rope.
They're heroes.
But they're nurses in hospitals.
Yeah. It doesn't look good. We don't think it's cute. We don't think it's funny. We aren't sympathizing with you. We don't think we're your heroes. We think you're wasting time and making a mockery out of the rest of us that are trying to get our lives back in order.
Now, I want to skip some rope.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
Now, today is the day for reopening here in Texas. Greg Abbott is finally easing up on coronavirus lockdown restrictions and allowing malls, retail stores, restaurants to start slowly reopening, but only at a 25% capacity. So I wanted to come here today to the Barton Creek Mall and see if people were going to be out and about, see if the stores were going to be open, and if people were still scared of coronavirus, if that was still a very big fear, and if they would even think about venturing into the mall. So we did do a quick walkthrough, and the thing that we did see is that there's probably more than 50 stores in this mall, and there's about five of them at most that are currently open. And those stores are smaller boutique stores, maybe even locally owned. Those big corporations, Macy's, Dillard's, JCPenney, Sephora, all of those stores are remaining closed. So the majority of the mall not open for business. There are a couple of people that we've seen walking through, a lot of them still wearing masks, of course. And it seems that the coronavirus still has Texas locked down in terms of retail businesses, in terms of the mall. Restaurants as well are allowed to open up at a 25% capacity. Tables cannot have more than six people per table, and patrons still need to be seated 6 feet apart.
I have been to every store. I sat down and ate lunch at Pokey Joe's today. It was amazing. We're ready to get back out and shop, and I'm here to support my economy. I got money in both fists, and I'm going to spend it at every store that's open, you know.
A lot of people around the nation are saying that Texas is opening up too early, that Georgia opened up too early. There's going to be severe consequences. Do you think that that will happen here in Texas? What do you foresee now that the economy is opening up?
I foresee a lot of women like me wanting to get their nails done, their hair done, go shopping. And you know, people die every day. There are more people who die from the flu. You've got to live. You can't live in fear. The people who are afraid, stay home. Let the rest of us live. I'm willing to risk my life. I don't want my children and my grandchildren to live in a country that's so deep in debt because of fear. So, if it takes me out, baby, it takes me out. But before then, I'll be at the mall.
We're open for business again.
Yep.
What do you think about it? Do you think Texas is reopening too early?
Hell yeah. Y'all stay at home. It's for sure too early. I'm only here to get a cheesecake for my son's birthday.
So some scientists and doctors are now coming out and saying that sheltering in place is actually bad for your immune system because of the way that our immune systems work in terms of, you know, getting a virus and then getting over it. Of course, when we do reopen, because everyone has been forced to stay inside, we're going to see a huge uptick. So do you think that we should still have people in lockdown, or do you think that it's been more detrimental than good?
I think the lockdown specifically is detrimental. I think everything does need to be shut down in, like, large gatherings where you can, like, get with a lot of people. I think we should encourage people to go outside, continue to go to the green belt, you know, continue to go get in the waters and stuff like that.
Why are you wearing a mask?
Because they made me. I can't go anywhere. Look, I came back from California, like, last week, and they were like, hey, stop. We're doing the mask. You can't come to the gas station. I was like, what? So now it's like, hey, I got, like, 10 of them in my car.
I want you to know we have been in some stores today. The people that worked there removed them when we removed them. They're had enough of it, too. You know, we only wear them because of the government forcing us to. Most people would take them off in a minute. You know, it's freedom above fear. You know what I fear the most? It's government taking away my rights. I fear the transients with their knives more than I fear the virus. You know, I'm going to live. My days are numbered by God, and nobody's going to take me out. He won't be surprised when I get there, you know, so I'm not worried about it.
That's what life is like over here in Texas for our first day of reopen. Hopefully, as time goes on, more businesses will begin to reopen. I was talking to one of our cameramen as well, and we did note that a lot of the local businesses throughout Austin actually remained open throughout this time. And of course, we know it's because it's the small businesses that have been some of the most impacted. These people don't want to see their small businesses destroyed before their very eyes, so they've tried to stay open and do what they can to stay afloat during this time of complete economic destruction. This past Thursday, 30 million people were said to be unemployed, and we know that millions more have not even been able to apply for unemployment due to overwhelmed servers.
Has begun. My name is Harrison Smith. I'm sitting here with Owen Schroyer, who will be with us for the next segment as we continue to talk about just the absolute absurdity of the modern world and the situation in which we find ourselves. And we're sort of vacillating between just laughing at it and just being enraged by it. And I think a lot of people out there are feeling this this way as well. What's your supreme mood here? Because to me, it's sort of just it's not apathy, but it's just like nobody knows anything. Nobody knows what the hell they're talking about. The media is full of lies. I'm just like, I want to just tune out until it's all over, and then I'll tune back in and go, all right, what happened in the last three? That's sort of my mood, is like, can I please just fall asleep until this is all over? Because I'm sick of it. How you feeling, Owen?
No, you pretty much just nailed my exact attitude for this. That's why I was trying to take a vacation, just try to get my mind off it. But you can't even do that. You can't go decompress at a beach. You can't go decompress at a bar. You can't go decompress at a ball game. You can't go decompress with your family. They've banned family gatherings. So it's like you can't even get away from it, even if you try. And it's just like what you said, except I feel like what, you know, InfoWars has been so far ahead of the curve for so long and has been the leading edge for so long. For the first time, we're finally starting to kind of see mainstream trying to keep up with us almost in a way. But instead of us having to like drag the mainstream news or drag America with us, it's like it's kind of naturally happening, but it's still so obvious. And the analogy I made last week is it's like we've leveled up. It's like, I know you play Mario Kart. You've beat me a couple times.
that was my wife, but yeah.
But it's like in Mario Kart, you know, when you finish and everybody else is still racing, like you have to sit around and wait.
Right.
So if you're that much better than all your friends, you're sitting around waiting for like 10 minutes for them to finish the race. And you're just like, oh, like yawning, you know. So it's like, I kind of feel like that's like where I'm at. I feel like I've mastered this track. We've played this level. We've beat this level. I'm done on this level. I'm sick of this level. It's boring to me. I know all the crevices. I know all the ins and outs. I know all the secret hiding spots and Easter eggs and everything. I'm done. I'm over this level. I'm bored with it. I'm ready to move on to the next level, but we're still waiting for everyone else. We're still waiting for everyone else to finish this level so that we can start moving back up. So it's, you know, and it's the same thing. It's redundant every day. Blame Trump. Literally everything the Democrats do, it comes down to two things. Trump's racist and it's Trump's fault. It doesn't matter what the issue is, how it plays. It's every damn time. And they've done the same thing with the coronavirus. And when people are that insane, Harrison, whether you think it was man-made or not, or whether you think it came out of a lab or not, it came out of China.
Right.
It came out of China. And they're blaming Trump for it.
Yeah. Well, and they've manipulated people into reading every little thing. I had this long debate. So I made this infographic that highlights every plague throughout history that originated in China. Turns out it's like almost all of them, like pretty much 9 out of 10 of the biggest plagues to ever sweep the earth. They all came out of China. I thought that was an interesting thing. So I put it up on Reddit, I think, which was a mistake because Reddit is a trash fire. I came to be reminded once again when I posted this. And it was like all these people calling me racist and saying all this stuff that I was blaming China on this and all this nonsense. And I just kept saying the disease came out of China. That's just a fact. And they're all reading in to all these different, you know, oh, but you're racist against Chinese people. The disease came out of China. That's all I kept responding with because it's a fact. But they've trained everybody to be their little soldiers, to go out there and read in to what you're saying, even if you're just presenting a clear and obvious fact and you're not drawing any conclusions from it, you're not basing any sort of bias on it. You're just saying the coronavirus, COVID-19, originated in China. But that fact, just saying that has been warped and manipulated, and everybody out there is suddenly sees that as something racist and needs to be fought against. So they've trained people to like see just a blatant fact and read into it so deeply and so negatively, and then to argue against it. It's like it came out of China. It came out of China. I'm sorry. Nothing you say can change that fact.
Well, and that's why. And so I kind of like, it's like with the whole thing with the Trump phenomenon, the Trump movement. I mean, InfoWars, there were other outliers, you know, Ann Coulter, Michael Savage. But I mean, I remember in 2015 when Trump announced, and then, you know, some of the early rallies and early coverage. I mean, I remember it was next to nobody that supported Trump. I mean, I was on an island supporting Trump. I mean, I literally got heckled at a Missouri rally. Everybody remembers Abe Skrillex. But see, we still felt like, okay, we're still pulling everyone with us. We still have that rope. You're going to see who Trump is. You're going to see it. And so we kind of got to that point. Trump's approval rating. Well, he gets nominated. He wins the election. Mm-hmm. His approval ratings keep going. The economy and everything. And so we still felt like, okay, we're leading the edge, but we're still pulling along with us. We're still putting in the good work. You know, we're still seeing the manifest.
And that has been a success, right? Now you see the terms deep state. You see, I mean, the terms globalist was a laughingstock in 2014. If you go back and find a video clip of somebody using the term globalist, they're using it as a joke, like it's nothing and doesn't exist. Now, people understand what the distinction between globalist and nationalist, what the deep state actually is, how it acts, how it manipulates people. So you can't underestimate that what effect that polling has had. We're just, you know, go on. We're still pulling, but now we're just waiting.
And so, but that's why it's so frustrating now, because I feel like with the censorship, our rope has been cut or it's down to like a single thread. And with the coronavirus shutdown, we've like reached a wall. Like we've reached a stalling point. It's like we know the wall's deteriorating. We know eventually the wall is going to fall, but I can't get through it right now. So it's like I'm just sitting here waiting for everyone else to pound this wall down so that we can move on with our lives and move on with our goal of saving America, making America great again. And who knows what happens, because the mainstream news is not going to stop. They're going to keep blaming Trump. Mm-hmm. They're going to impeach Trump for this. That's what's coming next. They've already got their little subcommittee set up. 9 committees from the coronavirus now. 9, including a subcommittee that's just, I guarantee you, it's only going to be to impeach Trump. So we're going to go through with that again. And I just, you know, I think this is the biggest problem that I think any thinking individual right now, and we don't like talking about it, but it's true. I'm not coming out as anti-Trump. I'm not saying I'm done with Trump. I'm simply saying I have to really think about November. And if this last year is what we get with Trump and nothing changes, I either go and vote for Trump with a sour taste in my mouth or I don't vote. I mean, that's just the facts. It's just, and I think a lot of people are looking at it that way now. And we don't want to talk about it because we had a belief that Trump was going to do a lot of great things. And he has, stopping the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the Paris Climate Accord, defunding WHO. I can't knock all the great things Trump has done. But if you look at his greatest accomplishment in the economy, it's all been erased. If you look at what the greatest attack on free speech, the time period in American history, what is the greatest attack? It's under Trump's presidency. The greatest tyranny I've ever seen in my life, under Trump's presidency. Just like you were saying, these are facts. I don't get mad at these facts. I don't deny these facts. I don't try to make claims about who you are because of these facts. I have to accept these facts. I have to weigh these facts. And I have to consider these things when I operate in the future. And you know, we were kind of saying this in the break. And it's really, and I think to answer your question, this is ultimately, I think, where you just, dust is all settled, bare bones. It's all like, you know, avoid all of the noise. It's either the events. I'm not saying Q is real or not. I'm saying the events that Q are alleging are going to happen, or that Q supporters allege are going to happen, either that all happens or we're screwed. Or I don't know if I can vote for Trump again, because this is out of control. The amount of treason that has been committed in broad daylight, and not a single person has been arrested, but Flynn's life has been destroyed. I've been to jail twice. Roger Stone has now been sentenced. Alex Jones gets heckled and he doesn't get free speech. We're the victims of everything. We're not the criminals. The criminals are roaming free. The criminals have more power now than they've ever had in my life. So I think it's a painful stretch to think about. And like I said, I feel like we've lost the rope. We're stuck on this level. We're waiting for people to catch up. We're at this coronavirus wall. We're waiting for it to fall. See what's on the other side. It may be dark on the other side. We don't know. And so that's just kind of where I'm ultimately at right now. And only time will tell, but this weekend could be big, and we'll see if states are reopening next Monday. But hey, people in California are gathered on the beach, thousands of them. Coronavirus isn't going to spread.
Let's put it this way. Trump's reelection is not guaranteed. And if he is not reelected, the last 4 years will have been the biggest waste of an opportunity history has ever seen.
It's like dropping a, you know, Super Bowl pass for the win.
Yeah, pretty much. If this doesn't get done, I totally agree.
Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. This is Harrison Smith. I'm alone at the desk now. It feels empty without like the Patriots, Owen Schroyer and Greg Reese, but I'll soldier on ahead. I actually have some great video clips that I would like to show you fine folks out there, as well as several other very important stories and a lot of headlines that need to be, in order to be fully appreciated, need to be combined with other headlines. And I'll show you what I mean in just a minute. First, I want to go to this video clip. This is clip 17. As you may know, there's an interesting phenomenon occurring right now where in the left wing of politics, they are eating their own. They are attacking their own, despite the fact that those people they are attacking are simply trying to live up to the expectations of the left. For example, Chris Hayes on MSNBC does a very milquetoast, very by the numbers, not very intense, just examination of the Tara Reid accusations against Joe Biden. And of course, you see cancel Chris Hayes trending on Twitter because they don't want this. They can't have this examination of their golden boy, Joe Biden. And despite the fact that, you know, if their rhetoric is to be believed, they believe all women and they think, you know, using your power in this way should bar you from ever being in office again. I mean, so if you were to go with what they say, then what Chris Hayes did should be just the bare minimum of what should be being done. But instead, they attack him. They eat him. They destroy him. They attempt to because he is getting in the way of their political aspirations. Well, the same thing has occurred with Michael Moore, who has come out with an environmental documentary. But the problem is that this documentary casts shadows of doubt on some of the political certitudes, the political certainties that the left is obsessed with. So I'm going to play a clip for it, and it's a pretty long clip, but I'm just going to let the whole thing play. It's about 3 minutes, and this is from the documentary called Planet of the Humans that Michael Moore put out on YouTube. It has several million views at this point. You can watch it all in full. It's about an hour and 40 minutes. And the problem is it shows some of the hypocrisies, some of the failures, and some of the inconsistencies, some of the inadequacies of the political solutions being put forward by the Democrats and the left. It actually shows how they might feel good, but they're actually making things worse. And this is a problem for them because they don't actually care. You know, if they were honest, if they really cared about saving the earth or protecting the climate or the environment, whatever they want to do, then they would take in this truth with open eyes and full hearts and understand what they're dealing with and try to change their positions. But they don't do that. They attack Michael Moore. They try to tear him down because he's presenting facts that throw a wrench in their political machinations and their attempt to destroy the world under the guise of saving it. So here it is. Here's this clip from Michael Moore's Planet of the Humans. I'll comment on it on the other side.
Trunk? No, the battery in this particular design is a T-shape right down the center.
So this is Kristen Zimmerman.
Across the back seat area.
She's presenting an electric vehicle at a plant in Michigan.
Killed the electric vehicle. No, we didn't. It's alive and well.
So what's charging the batteries right now? What's the source of electricity?
Well, here. It's coming from the building.
I mean, is it, what's our mix of power?
Oh, actually, Lansing feeds the building.
What's that?
Lansing feeds power to the building. So I don't know.
They're,
I bet they're a bit of coal. On natural gas, aren't they?
Right now the car is charging off of your grid.
Right. It would be charging off our grid, which is about 95% coal.
How long do you think it will be before there's a solar and wind powered grid?
Oh, golly.
To suggest that all of the power used for these cars will be generated from wind and solar in the very near future would not be correct. In fact, we're talking about charging these up at night, so there won't be any solar at that time. So we're down to wind. And very often at night, the wind does fall off. So
I don't think coal is bad. The what?
A big battle. Mountain top removal.
Oh, yeah. It's got lovely BTUs. It's got lovely
very
energy
dense,
value.
Yeah.
How do you burn it more cleanly? I mean, do you see natural gas getting bashed?
Well, we will be delivering power based on natural gas very shortly. And even with that that mix, we intend to use biofuels if we can.
You got any support?
Oh, the environmental groups are extremely supportive.
We did install the state's largest solar array at my company, the Board of Water and Light. It's just down the street from here, a few miles, if you want to take a look at it. What outfit are you with?
New World Media. We're doing a segment on the renewable energy.
Oh, excuse me. I got to go for a second. But thanks.
I decided to take him up on his offer to check out their football field-sized solar array right down the street.
What we're trying to do with this kind of a tour is get a sense for what they've already done as an indication of what we could do to push the envelope even further.
We took a hard look at wind and determined that, you know, around here there's not any real good wind coming through all the time. That's what we liked about solar. You would get the power when you most needed it. Pass these around, look at them. They are pliable. Made in Michigan, that was another good thing. Although the efficiency of these panels is only about just under 8%. If you happen to be NASA and you happen to own a rover running around Mars, they have very efficient panels. But we can't afford those at about $1 million a square inch.
How many homes would this array provide electricity?
The standard answer that we tell everybody is we're providing enough to meet the peak requirements of 50 homes. Okay. However, for most of the people that look at it a little bit closer, we generate about 64,000 kilowatt hours a year. Our average customer uses about 6,000 kilowatt hours a year. 6,000 into 64 is just a little over 10. We can meet the energy requirements for 10 homes.
10 homes. 10 homes. They meet the energy requirements of that massive solar array. So again, that was the documentary from Michael Moore that presented facts showing that these feel-good kind of environmental programs and policies, like having electric cars. I don't know if David Knight came up with it, but I know he uses the phrase coal-powered cars, because that's what they are. You're just, you know, it's out of sight, out of mind, just because you aren't the one putting the coal into the engine, like an old train conductor. You're still powering your car through coal. It's just gone through a bunch of processes to get to your car as electric power. But this is sort of just it feels good, it looks good, it you're able to say, we can power up to 50 homes. Well, it turns out it's more like 10, and it turns out the amount of heavy metals that you need to extract, the amount of shipping that needs to be done, the amount of labor that needs to be involved in this, the amount of carbon that you're releasing because of it, it doesn't actually make any sense. And that infuriates the people who have accepted this as religious dogma, who say you are now being blasphemous against this new religion of the earth that we have started, even though it's true, even though really what he's trying to do is help actually create sustainable and real environmental progress towards getting away from fossil fuels and getting away from destroying the earth to gather heavy metals. That infuriates the so-called environmentalists, because it's not along their program, which is to basically install socialism and say that you're fighting for the earth. So I recommend you go watch that documentary. I'm a real environmentalist. I really want to stop the pharmaceuticals, dumping hormone-altering concoctions into our water. I want to stop the deforestation by, let's legalize weed and grow hemp to make paper instead. These are real solutions, not the fake Green New Deal solutions.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
Harrison Smith sitting in for Owen Schroyer. You know, we're talking about environmentalism. We know all the problems that are assaulting our planet right now. We know just eating meat, the amount of methane that's produced by cows. We know that basically every new human born in the first world, some, astronomical amount of carbon. I think we see the solution staring us in the face. We need to eat people. We need to start eating people. That decreases the number of people. It decreases the number of cows and chickens that we need to farm, which will decrease the carbon. I think we need to start eating people. I think to save the earth, we need to bring back cannibalism. And frankly, I think Alex Jones is behind me on that one. I'm glad to see that more people are waking up to the solutions that cannibalism can provide to the world. It's a wonderful thing. Now, I want to read a couple headlines here that need to be truly appreciated in conjunction, right? So here's the first one from MarketWatch. It says 43% of small businesses say they'll be forced to close permanently if they don't get help soon. This is a travesty, right? This is a catastrophe. Of course, we know Amazon not hurting so bad. Walmart not hurting that much. The big box stores, the big multinational conglomerates are loving what's happening because of coronavirus. It's just sort of a side effect that almost half of the small businesses in the country will be forced to close permanently if they don't get help soon. That's one headline. Here's the next one along the same line here. About one fifth of all the jobs in the U.S. are already gone. And this economic depression is just 6 weeks old. So one fifth of all the jobs in the United States are gone. Poof. Bah, they're gone. They're now being funded by your tax dollars. So those are two of the headlines need to be taken in conjunction to understand the economic reality that we are in. But what's the solution to this? And what's been the reaction to this? And what's happening on the other side of that coin? Well, you have this also from Infowars.com. U.S. waiving visa interviews for some agricultural workers. So we have one fifth of our entire workforce out of a job, and we're fast tracking the importation of people to fill jobs here in the United States. Okay, they need to be taken in conjunction. We understand not just is one fifth of the workforce out of a job, but to replace these people, they're fast tracking in the importation of agricultural workers from other countries. Okay, here's the last one that will tie in with all of this. America's super rich see their wealth rise by $282 billion in 3 weeks of the pandemic. So this is the control. This was the plan put into, activated, put into motion due to coronavirus, shutting down small businesses. Up to 43%, or at least I should say 43%, furloughing, getting rid of a fifth of the workforce. While at this, you're doing that with one hand. The other hand is shoveling money into the pockets of the already super rich, the billionaires, the multi-billionaires are getting richer and richer. The owners of Microsoft and Amazon and all these other places, they're getting vastly richer. They are consolidating their power. They are expanding their operations at the expense of, or as the regular small business owner is contracting and being destroyed, okay? Workforce is going away, and they're fast-tracking the importation of foreigners to fill those jobs. This is why you need a holistic view of what's going on in the world. This is why you can't just take one headline and stop at that. You have to combine many of them. Now, there's some other things going on in the world today that don't have to do with coronavirus, but are terrifying and freedom destroying nonetheless. You have from NBC News, Alaska School Board removes The Great Gatsby and other famous books from curriculum for controversial content. Controversial content. So we're seeing book burning going on now under the guise of political correctness, including I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, Catch 22, The Things They Carried, The Great Gatsby, The Invisible Man by Ralph Ellison. We're all taken off the approved list of works that teachers in the Matsu Borough District may use for instruction. The school board voted 5-2 on Wednesday to yank the words out of the teachers' hands starting this fall. They removed books that contained content that could potentially harm students. Okay, so just full-on thought control and book burning taking place in Alaska, destroying American classics to protect you for your own good. Okay, might give you ideas that we don't necessarily want you to have. Well, at the same time, you have this from Infowars.com. Study finds, quote, historic drop in math and reading scores since the adoption of Common Core. According to the report, lower scores as a result of Common Core were predicted a decade ago. You know, I've been on a kick recently where I'm watching all these old videos of economists, Milton Friedman and others. And, something that keeps coming back, and it's this pattern of a created problem, right? the government comes and says, this is a problem. What's the problem? The problem is there are unequal schools. The problem is that some schools do better and others don't, which you may not even think was a problem if you lived back then, back in the 90s or whenever Common Core came about. And here comes government with their solution. They say, let us handle it. Let us take it over. Let us fix this problem that we have identified. So people say, okay, sounds like you know what you're doing. Why don't you take over? So they enact these programs. Well, you come to find a decade, two decades down the line, those programs have not only not helped the problem that you've identified, they have actually exacerbated it massively. And this happens over and over. And over and over again, you have people at the time that these programs are being implemented saying, this is not going to work. You are going to just do damage. We shouldn't be implementing Common Core. We shouldn't be implementing the welfare state. We shouldn't be implementing affirmative action. All these sorts of things saying, look, you're not going to help anything. Yes, maybe it is a problem, but there are other ways to approach this. The government says, no, don't worry. We'll take care of it. You go down the line. It turns out all those naysayers, all those non-believers, all those people that said you don't know what you're doing, well, it turns out they were right. Turns out by every metric, you have failed. By every metric, you have made things worse. And time and time and time again, what is the solution? What is the response from the government? It's, well, you just need more. We just need more Common Core. We just need more affirmative action. We just need more and more and more and more, because obviously the problem is still bad. It's still there. So we're just seeing this over and over and over again. And now we see it with Common Core, which anybody could have told you was going to destroy the intellectual capacity of the average American student. Here we have the evidence that it has done that. We have the evidence that it's drastically lowered scores by every metric. Do you think it's going to go away? Do you think this program that has so undermined the scholastic achievement of Americans is going to be looked at with a critical eye and said, you know, maybe we shouldn't do this anymore? Or kind of like the Chinese communists, to save face as not to embarrass the Common Core supporters, will they say, no, this is just more evidence that more Common Core is needed and we need to, implement more of these programs over and over and over again? Yeah, of course, that's going to happen. Speaking of government inability to do anything right, you have this, I guess he's the mayor of San Francisco. His name is Breed. Breed, a message to out-of-town homeless people during coronavirus. Stay away. And this article is from the San Francisco Chronicle. And basically, it talks about how San Francisco said, we're going to get hotel rooms for all of our homeless. We're going to house all of our homeless with the city money in hotels there in San Francisco. And surprise, surprise, who could have seen it coming? A bunch of homeless people went to San Francisco to take advantage of this program. What? What? You're telling me that if you just do a blanket, if you're homeless, come to San Francisco and you'll get a free room, and people actually do it? People actually come and take advantage of your naivety, of your blank check that you're writing? Color me surprised. Color me shocked that once again, California just absolutely fails to do anything well, and just as sort of a microcosm of America at large, insists on these government programs that do nothing but return bad, bad results. It's happening over and over and over again. The final segment of the War Room continues on the other side, and I got some good stuff planned, so don't go anywhere, folks. Final segment on the other side. 1 minute, 2 minutes, 4 minutes.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
All right, folks, here in the last segment of the War Room, I have two topics that I would like to discuss. One of them is what is going on with Amazon right now, because quite a few very interesting things are happening and we can learn quite a few lessons from it. The other thing I want to talk about is China. And yes, these two things do cross over each other. There is a Venn diagram with quite a bit of overlap. Let's start with this headline from CNN Business. China is installing surveillance cameras outside people's front doors and sometimes inside their homes. Now, throughout the coronavirus catastrophe that we have been under, you've seen Bill Gates, you've seen basically everybody who's anybody who's controlled, who's within the system, who's a priest in their priest class, praise China and say China did things right. And of course, the question I keep asking is, what exactly did they do right? Was it them barring people in their own homes, welding people's apartment doors shut? Was it making people disappear in trucks going away? Was it arresting doctors who tried to warn people about this before the Chinese state media was ready to to outlay it. What was it exactly that you liked so much about China's response? And of course, we see the responses here giving us a hint of what they like. They like the so-called contact tracing that is now being enacted in many states and countrywide, in many circumstances, and especially at universities who are saying it. You also have, so this is creeping in. This is coming to America. This is happening in America. So don't think that just because, you know, this seems crazy to you that China would install surveillance cameras outside people's front doors and sometimes inside their homes. Not only would America do that if they, you know, once things get to a certain point, they also don't have to because we've invited them in like Dracula, right? Dracula can't come in your home unless you invite them. Well, that's what we've done by installing cameras, by having smart TVs with cameras in them and having companies that work with the American government and the American law enforcement agencies to provide them with this without having to have a warrant or any probable cause. So we've already invited them in. They're already doing this in a way. They just are a little bit more subtle than China is. But there's other things happening in America. California man thrown in psychiatric hold for expressing concerns about Bill Gates' vaccines. That happened in China. You also have YouTube, of course, expanding its fact checkers to crack down on coronavirus, quote, misinformation. Now, basically, it was one of the people at the Wuhan lab is now in charge, heading much of the YouTube censorship that's going on, as well as Facebook. They're one of their main fact checkers is there. And YouTube's come out and said, basically, if you criticize the WHO, the World Health Organization, or contravene their dictates, then you will also be kicked off of their platform. This is already happening. New York, this is from Wall Street Journal, New York to hire, quote, army of tracers to combat coronavirus. So they're going to be tracing your contact, right? They're going to be mapping out your every movement because they care about you, right? Worldwide, this is going on. Australians urged to sign up to tracking ad. So just be a good little boy, be a good little citizen, download the tracking app and let us contact trace you for your own good. Georgia kicks off chilling door-to-door COVID-19 blood collections. This is from the Washington Times. So they're going to come collect your blood to make sure you don't have coronavirus. So just every one of our personal liberties and our property, our body itself is now, you know, our autonomy over our own being is now being superseded by the disaster of the coronavirus. And of course, the UNZ, the UNS review, is an alternative media site that has been kicked off of Facebook as well because of this type of stuff. But here's a very interesting patent just filed by Microsoft in the year 2020. In fact, the end of March, this was published. This is the cryptocurrency system using body activity data. So this is from Microsoft. It is essentially the mark of the beast. 100%. It's about cryptocurrency using your body as a computer, as a server, as well as interacting with banking systems through your body, through a node in your hand, maybe in the side of your head. Essentially, Microsoft, with this patent, has now patented the mark of the beast, and that's worth paying attention to. Of course, Microsoft's not the only big bad guy out there. You got Amazon, who's going through a lot of stuff right now. And they're doing well, right? Because they're allowed to operate. They're allowed to keep making money. They're encouraged to do so. They are subsidized by the American taxpayers through the Postal Service. We all bow to the roach-eating Jeff Bezos. Well, Amazon, this is from Ars Technica, Amazon locked down internal employee communication during organizing efforts. If all complaints must be first approved by a manager, there will be fewer of them. So essentially, Amazon's very worried about the unionization of their workers. Now, unions are another one of these things that in its pure form, in its philosophical form, in its appropriate actualization is a good thing, right? You want to have workers being able to get together and advocate, you know, use their mass to advocate for better changes, better working conditions. This type of thing actually is brought about, you know, many safety regulations that have saved lives and saved children from having to work in dangerous situations. All these things have sort of happened over the years and have been a force for good in general. But then you have them being taken over. Then you have things like the teachers union, which is just takes your tax money, forces teachers to be in it, advocates for terrible policies to support themselves. It becomes a self-sufficient, self-fulfilling prophecy sort of juggernaut. As unions often do. So you know, unions in general, like I said, a good thing. They can be abused. I'm not typically like a union person because I recognize the power that they have and they're unregulated and they work for their own thing. But workers should be allowed to unionize and advocate for better conditions, especially in a place like Amazon, which seemingly has no concern for their workers and will not spend an extra penny to help their workers if they are not required by law to do so. I'm reminded, of course, of the warehouses in England where there were so many people being injured, but Amazon crunched the numbers and decided it was cheaper just to have an ambulance outside to take care of the sick people rather than actually make changes in the warehouse to prevent people from getting sick. This is the type of evil mindset that the rulers of Amazon are a part of. So they're using all of this technology to try to destroy the unionizing efforts of their slaves, I mean workers. And so you have this from Zero Hedge: Amazon to use banned Chinese firms Orwellian thermal cameras to scan workers. So now Amazon, it says, has bought cameras to take temperatures of workers during the coronavirus pandemic from a firm the United States blacklisted over allegations it helped China detain and monitor the Uyghurs and other Muslim minorities. Three people familiar with the matter told Reuters. China's technology company shipped 1,500 cameras to Amazon this month in a deal valued close to $10 million. So Amazon perfectly willing to take advantage of the despotic behavior of China in order to prevent their workers from what? From getting sick? Hey, maybe this is a good thing. Oh no, wait. What they're doing is trying to prevent unionizing. And this is an incredible story from Business Insider. Amazon-owned Whole Foods is quietly tracking its employees with a heat map tool that ranks which stores are at most risk of unionizing. So they're also using these cameras and other technologies in order to identify the people in this warehouse. They congregate and they speak to each other for too long. They might be at risk of unionizing. We have to go in there and bust them up, right? This is the technological, you know, I always reference it, but it's the Aldous Huxley, the ultimate revolution. It's like there's a certain point where counter-revolution is impossible, right? There's a certain point where Amazon rules the world and any, you know, congregation of people that might have the slightest chance of making a change to their despotic and evil policies will be identified, rooted out, and destroyed before it has a chance to reach critical mass. This is the ultimate revolution. There is a certain point that this control mechanisms are in place that to fight against it is impossible. And that's what we're reaching here with things like Amazon using this incredible technology to clamp down on even the slightest show of misbehavior. But here's the most interesting part of this story from Business Insider. The store's individual risk scores are calculated from more than two dozen metrics, including employee loyalty, turnover, and racial diversity. Here's the things, folks. Here's the thing that Amazon knows and is tacitly admitting, but won't say, and you can read into this as much as you want to, and I encourage you to do so. They understand that the more diverse a workplace is, the less likely it is to form a union. The more diverse a workplace is, the less likely it is that the people that work there that are being mistreated will get together, will use their power as people to agitate and advocate for better working systems. They understand that the more diversity you have, the more divisions you have, the more difficult it is for different people to communicate with each other, the easier it is for power to be maintained in the hands of a few. So let's go ahead and extrapolate that to society at large and the world at large and understand that they know from a very precise technological level, the more diversity, the greater their own power, the greater their own security.